Production. Recorded live.
Amen. God bless you all on today. I would like to welcome you all to another Talk Shoe segment of Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Lionel Blair. And today we have an awesome word that's going to go forth on today. Amen. And today we're going to be talking about the ministry of the prophet. Amen. The ministry and the mantle of the prophet. And, today, the Lord, I just put it in my spirit, you know, to talk about the ministry of the prophets, because I see a lot of, you know, emerging prophets now. And, you know, a lot of these emerging prophets, you know, if a lot of folks are not careful, amen, it might go off into a spirit of error kind of early, amen. And then because we also have a lot of wounded prophets, amen, out there as well that the Lord is looking to restore in this hour. So we're going to go kind of like all over the place, kind of like in the prophetic today, amen. And yesterday, if you all missed a segment, you might want to go back and listen to it. Amen. The Lord just put it in my spirit just to do a talk show segment. I didn't know what to name it. You know, it wasn't no specific topic or nothing. The Lord just told me just to do it. And I did it, and, you know, the Lord ministered a powerful word, and then prayer and intercession went forth. The word of the Lord went forth. Amen. And the gift of the Spirit was at work, and I just praise God for that, because truly, you know, it was an awesome time yesterday. And, you know, I would advise everybody to go back and really listen to the things that the Lord spoke on last night. Amen. We was on there for almost like 3 hours. You know, I thank God it didn't last longer than that, because last time that type of anointing was on the line like that, I was on the phone, I was on the line for 5 hours almost, amen, giving words of knowledge and prophecy and word of wisdom, and people was being delivered and healed on the line, amen. And I just bless God for that. You know, I bless God for last night too. Amen. So we're going to get into the ministry of the prophet today. Father, I thank you. I bless your name, Father. You're truly worthy to be praised, Father. I just thank you, Father, for the opportunity and the honor and the privilege of ministering to your people, Father, for edifying. And I thank you for all the apostles and the prophets on the line and the ones to come, Father, and I thank you for the ones that are going to listen, Father. I just thank you, Father, that your anointing is already present, Father. The anointing that's on the life of the apostle, Father, is on the line, Father. And I just thank you, Father, that everything that we touch, Father, you have blessed it. And, Father, we just ask that your people be edified today, Father. Let them not leave confused, but leave informed, empowered, Father, and equipped to go forth and do what you call them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I like to thank you all. Amen. And shout out to Victoria, too. She in the chat room, guest three. That's my sis, y'all. A powerful woman of God, prophetess as well. Amen. To the whole nation. Amen. To the nations around the world. And speaking that into your life. Hallelujah. Amen. But we're going to really define the role of a prophet. You know, because what I'm seeing now is a lot of people have the title of prophet to their name, but when you examine their fruit, amen, they don't have the fruit of a prophet. And understand this: the fruit of the prophet is not in the gifting. Let me say that again: the fruit of the prophet is not necessarily in the giftings, amen. There's certain giftings that automatically come with prophetic ministry, but understand this: what makes you a real prophet is not your ability to be able to prophesy and something comes to pass. That's just part of it, amen. Because you got a whole bunch of folks that speak and stuff and it's coming to pass, but their character sucks, amen. Can I say that again? You have a whole lot of folks that speaking stuff. Amen. And it's coming to pass, but their character sucks. Amen. A psychic can predict something in your life and it comes to pass. I mean, don't you know that the enemy has counterfeit works to everything that God does? Don't you know that there's counterfeit words of knowledge and words of wisdom? That's why psychics can tell you stuff and it be true. Amen. And that word psychic deals with the mind. Amen. Being a prophet is a ministry gift, and you have to be in the spirit in order to fully operate in your call. Amen. Not according to your mind or your psychic ability. Amen. Because when you deal with the psychic ability, you're dealing with the mind. The mind is always dealing with reasoning and logic and all the other stuff. That's why people can't try to figure out God, because it will literally blow your mind. Amen. God will manifest stuff, and it'll totally mess you up in the mind if you are, especially if you're an intellectual, logical person. It'll totally mess you up because God will do stuff. See, God does stuff that's against the laws of nature. Amen. He will do stuff that's not natural. That's why it's called supernatural. Amen. Supernatural, because it's something that's super or spiritual and is manifested in the natural. Amen. So when the super encounters the natural, it becomes supernatural. It becomes something that's not normal to us. So when you begin to operate in the soulish realm or the mind, because remember, your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, then you're going to end up being in trouble. Amen. Satan always attacks the mind first. Amen. Before he can get something and plant it in your spirit, he first brings it to your mind. And if you entertain it long enough in your mind, that thing will begin to seep down in your spirit, and then you'll begin to act upon what the enemy has planted in your mind, because now it is seeped down, deeply rooted in your spirit. Amen. So we can't continue to do things according to the mind. Amen. We have to do it according to the Spirit. The Bible says that the apostles of old were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. God don't deal with our minds. He deals with our spirit. Amen. Amen. That's why the Bible says that we are to bring every imagination and thought to the captivity of the obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. Carnality deals with the mindset that's against the things of the spirit, the mindset that can't figure out God but tries to. Hallelujah. Amen. And why the Holy Ghost have me to go here, I don't know, but I'm going to go with him. Amen. So first of all, before you can even become a prophet, you can't be carnal. Amen. Because God will speak stuff to you. He will show you stuff, amen, that goes totally against what the world has taught you to think. That's why the Bible says your mind has to be what? Renewed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable will, that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. See your mindset has to be conditioned to be able to receive. Your mind, your soul has to be brought into subjection, into submission to the Spirit. Your soul or your mind has to be lined up with the Spirit of God, amen, in order for you to fully be able to receive what it is that God wants you to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless God. Amen. What is a prophet? Amen. What exactly is a prophet? We gonna touch on this tonight, amen. I'm going to try not to be so deep and theological with it. I'm going to just give you a basic interpretation and functions according to the Word of God of the ministry of the prophet, amen. The prophet is simply the mouthpiece of God, okay? Now, the Bible says all are not prophets, right? It teaches that. Everybody can't be a prophet. Amen. Just because you have the gift of prophecy don't make you a mouthpiece. I'm going to tell you why. Because prophecy is a gift of inspiration. It's something that comes forth from you. You are inspired. You feel the unction. Amen. Everybody say, I got an unction from the Holy Ghost. It's like an unction. It's something that comes forth from you. Okay? It's something that's already in you and it's stirred up, amen. It don't got to be nothing that you heard from God. It could be just something that's just in you, amen. And when you begin to open your mouth, amen, and begin to speak, amen, the words are just there, amen. It's already in your spirit. You feel the words, amen. And when you begin to speak, the words just bubble forth. You already feel the words coming, amen. That's why prophecy is called an inspiration gift. You are inspired. And understand that a prophet can be inspired also. Also, a prophet can be inspired. But he also, now this is where the gift of prophecy, a person who has the gift of prophecy don't really, you know, flow in this level of the prophetic, amen, because we're going to get into the gift of prophecy versus the ministry of the prophet tonight because they're two different things, amen. Even though every prophet has the gift of prophecy, but everybody that has the gift of prophecy is not a prophet. A prophet also hears directives, amen. A prophet also hears directives. There's certain things that God is going to speak to a prophet that he's not going to speak to a person who has the gift of prophecy. There's certain things that God's going to have a prophet to do that he's not going to have another person to do that just has the gift of prophecy. Amen. So we're going to define a prophecy real quick as far as when it comes to the ministry of the prophet. Amen. We're going to begin to define it real quick. Amen. I bless God on today. Amen. And these are definitions that come from Old Testament Hebrew definitions. Amen. Prophecy could mean to gaze at or to mentally perceive. Amen. Especially to have a vision sometimes with certain scriptures. When it says that means to prophesy means to speak what it is that you see or perceive to be in the spirit, amen. A burden or mental desire. That's why your mindset has to be renewed, amen. Because God is going to begin to show you stuff, and your mind is going to have to be able to receive what it is that God is showing you. Hello, amen. It means to speak by inspiration or to sing by inspiration. Amen. And most of the time you see this word in the Greek also means to not only to speak on the inspiration but to proclaim divine revelation. Amen. And also to foretell the future. Now, the gift of prophecy most of the time does not deal with future. It deals with the now. I explained that I think it was two segments ago. Amen. The difference between the gift of prophecy and the ministry of the prophet. I talked about the prophetic in the lives of God's people. Amen. And how the prophetic gifting should be a part of every believer. The Bible says that all can prophesy. All right, all can prophesy. Praise God. So now we know that a prophet is pretty much a messenger of God. Amen. Somebody who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, and they go about to proclaim that counsel to the people and to whatever nation that they are sent to. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to give a couple of things that prophets were called back then, amen, in the Bible. Prophets were called men of God. I'm going to go to the scripture real quick, and I might do a lot of scripture flipping, amen, because we really need to understand this here. Amen. I'm going to go to 1 Samuel 9, open right up to it. 1 Samuel 9 and 6. 1 Samuel 9 and 6. It says, and he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith surely come to pass. Now, remember, ministry of the prophet. You can tell by that right there. It says, he saith surely come to pass. Now let us go thither. Preadventure, he can show us our way that we should go. Amen. So the prophet was also called man of God. And I'm going to also go to 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 12, verse 22. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Shemaiah, the man of God. Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord. Amen. So, amen. All right, Prophetess Tina, I just read your message. Praise God. So we see here that the prophet was also called the man of God. I bless God today. Morally and ethically, the prophets were indeed men of God. The reason why they were called men of God, because of their walk before God and before the people. Amen. They were following, declaring, and upholding the ways of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The prophets were also called seers. Now let's go to 1 Samuel 9:9. 1 Samuel 9:9, it says, okay, here you go. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, hallelujah, went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. Hallelujah. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Amen. To some degree, every prophet is a seer. Some people see differently, but every prophet is a seer. Hallelujah. And to see means to also to perceive. Amen. So you may see things like some people see open vision, some things mentally perceive. The Lord will bring something to your mind, to your renewed mind, praise God. The Lord will bring something to your mind, amen, and you see like a vision, amen. The Bible calls it something like a similitude, amen, and I'm going to get into similitudes in a minute. The Bible calls it a similitude, amen. That means that you can see something in your mind. You don't see it in your, you don't see it openly in front of you with your physical eyes, but you see it with your spiritual eyes, but it's in your mind. Amen. So everybody has different degrees of sight in the spirit. You see differently in the spirit. Amen. I'm going to just go to a couple of more scriptures. Praise God. Let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 24. You know, I just want to prove that the men of God were called seers. Amen. In 2 Samuel 24:11, and it says, for when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer. Gad in the Bible was known for being a prophet. Amen. He was the prophet to the king. Amen. David. He was King David's personal prophet. Amen. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 33 and 18. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles 33:18. It says, now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayers unto his God and the words of the seers, amen, that spake unto him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. Amen. So we see that all the prophets were called seers. And I'm going to read one more scripture. So every prophet has the ability to see in the spirit and to perceive things in the spirit. Hallelujah. Amos 7:12, and it says, also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer. Now, Amos was a prophet in the Bible, right? He got a whole book named after him. It says, O thou seer, go flee thee away in the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. Prophesy and fear. You saw that they go together, right? Hallelujah. So all the prophets were called seers. They were also called interpreters. Amen. The word interpret means to teach. Amen. All the prophets in the Bible was able to teach. Amen. Amen. Every prophet should know the word of God. Every prophet. Amen. Amen. I thank God. Amen. And even certain scriptures, prophets and teachers were also compared together. They was mentioned in the same scriptures. Bless God. They was also called messengers. They were also called messengers of the Lord. Amen. Every prophet should have a message in their mouth from God. Amen. They should always have something. I like what Apostle Hill say. God is always speaking. Everybody be like, you know, I don't know what the Lord is saying and this and that. No, God is always speaking. And the prophets are called messengers. Every messenger has a message. Amen. If you read Malachi, third chapter, it talks about how God will send his messenger and how he would prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. And you know, this scripture, this scripture right here was talking about John the Baptist. Amen. Prophets were also called servants. Primary example, Jesus was called the suffering servant. Amen. And Jesus was a prophet too, as well as an apostle. The Bible describes Jesus as being an apostle, describes him as being a prophet also. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see here, you know, these are just the names of the prophets, amen, that were in the Bible. And we know that being that they had the same role in the Bible, don't you know that we have the same role today? Amen. We're supposed to be interpreters of the law. We're supposed to be men and women of God. Amen. We're supposed to be seers, messengers of the Lord. Amen. I bless God today. Amen. Hallelujah. And I wanna talk about something for a second. Amen. We know that Samuel, under the direction of the Lord, gathered young prophets. Amen. And they called them the school of the prophets. Samuel had the school of the prophets. Elijah had the sons of the prophets. Amen. Both of these were schools and ministries where prophets were developed and released. Amen. If you are a prophet, amen, it is good that you be around other seasoned prophets, amen, to help sharpen you, because the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. There's no such thing as a lone ranger prophet. Amen. I get so tired of seeing all these prophets always prophesying on Facebook, and they pastor don't know what they're saying, speaking, or doing. They have no spiritual accountability for nothing. Amen. And half of them are not even recognized prophetic ministers in the church. And understand this, that if your church does not embrace the prophetic, you need to go somewhere where they do. Hallelujah. I'm serious. You need to go somewhere where they do. Amen. And, you know, Elijah, don't get me wrong, Samuel and Elijah was prophets of their time. But if they were in the New Testament because of their function, they would be actually a type of apostolic ministry. Amen. So every prophet needs an apostle. I was talking to another prophetess about this earlier. Amen. Every prophet should not only have company of prophets around them to sharpen them, but they need other apostles, amen, over them. They do. And I'm going to tell you why in just a second. Amen. Because what I'm going to talk about next, hallelujah, amen, if some more people join the call, God bless you all. Amen. The next thing that I'm going to talk about, amen, is The prophets in relation to political figures and ministry leaders. We see a whole lot of prophets in ministry leadership, but you never see them out there in the political arena. Amen. And this is the season, too, where God is preparing prophetic people to go out in the area of the political realm, just like it was in the days of the Old Testament when all the kings had prophets. Amen. And understand that kings back in the Old Testament were political figures. Amen. They was the ones that ran the nation, the governments, and all that other stuff. Amen. They were political figures, and every king just about had a prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. Every king had prophets. Barack Obama needs some prophets, amen, to tell him the word of the Lord. Amen. People of influence who govern the laws of the land need some kind of kingdom input, prophetic input. Amen. Come on now. Even the apostles of the New Testament, they encountered political figures. Apostle Paul stayed locked up. He always encountered governors and kings. Amen. And preached the gospel to them. Come on now. Amen. And this is what we're going to see in this time, too. We're going to see, and mark my words, we're going to see a rise of apostolic and prophetic people going forth in the political arena. And a lot of laws are going to be changed. Some things are going to be changed, too. Amen? Amen. Even in the time of an economic turmoil and all this stuff that's going to befall this nation, amen. God, in the midst of it, he's still raising up people, amen, to be able to lead and guide the ones that are in leadership, because some of them are going to be crying out now. Some of them going to be so distressed, amen, that they're going to have no choice but to come to the people of God for help, for guidance, for prayer. Amen. There's going to come a time, I don't know who's going to be in office at this time, but the president, he going to want some prayer. He or she, whoever, they going to want some prayer. Amen. And God going to raise up some folks who have that mantle to be able to go forth in the political realm and dethrone those principalities that's operating in the political arena. Yeah, because don't you know that there's a principality that guards and governs the White House? My God. Don't you know that? That is like the epicenter of the laws of this nation. Washington, D.C. is a demon's nail. Amen. Washington, D.C. Needs some kingdom input and infiltration in that region. Bless God. Amen. And in these last times, amen, in these days that are upon us, amen, we're going to begin to see these things happen. Hallelujah. God's purpose was to influence the government of the nation as a whole in the Bible through the king by means of the prophetic word. Amen. Every ministry leader needs prophets. Every apostle needs prophets. Amen. And every political head needs some prophetic input. Hallelujah. But see, we don't think like that. We just think along the lines of the church. Our minds are too limited. Amen. That's why I said earlier that our minds need to be renewed to what God is doing. Because there's certain things that we won't do unless our mind is renewed, because we go start trying to figure stuff out. Instead of just obeying God and following his pattern in the word of God, we want to try to figure out God. Hallelujah. Amen. I know I'm busting some religious bubbles today, amen, but I bless God for that. Hallelujah. Get free in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The prophet represented the word of the Lord to the kings, and the kings were judged according to their acceptance or rejection of the prophetic word. Amen. Don't you know if somebody is obedient enough to do what God called them to do, and the Lord opened that door for them to go to the White House and meet President Barack Obama, and they give them that word? They give him that word, amen, and he don't respond. Don't you know he's going to be judged according to his response? You did your job, because the word is going to go forth and do what it do, amen. And it's going to cause a change regardless, because it's power in the words of the prophet. Hallelujah. And it's very important that prophetic ministry be established in the political arena, especially. Not just the church, but political arena too. Amen. God is not going to use, I'm not just talking about if you just have the ability just to prophesy, and everybody can prophesy. But if you're walking in the ministry of the prophet, if you're walking in the ministry of the prophet, hallelujah. Because there's a difference between the gift and the ministry. People get it mixed up. They think just because they can prophesy that, you know, they're a prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. Humble 040 says, I want to stay on, but the tornado sirens are going off. Storms are all around. Lord, cover us. Father, cover them in the name of Jesus. Father, cover us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, no weapon that's formed will be able to prosper. Cover them in the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Understand this. Saul and David had the ministry of Samuel. Okay? David had Nathan and Gad as prophets. Solomon had Nathan. Rehoboam had the prophet Shemaiah. Ahab had Elijah and Elisha. They didn't listen to him, but he had them. Amen. Praise God. And then ministry leaders, amen, apostles and prophets are supposed to work together, amen. You can't have just apostolic ministry with no prophetic, amen. And there's no, what is that? I've seen apostles have a ministry with no prophetic nothing in it, amen. The only one that prophesies is the apostle, and that's rarely. And there's no prophetic voice in the church. Amen. Everybody's a minister in the church. Everybody's life is a minister in the church. No fivefold ministry recognized. No prophets, no evangelists, no pastors, no teachers. Amen. It's just the apostles and then the ministers. I've seen a couple churches like that, even up here in Virginia. Amen. We have some churches with apostles over them, and then they have just the ministers. That's not God. Amen. If you have a prophetic, if you have a prophet in the church, and that prophet has been proven, has been tried, has been tested, release them. My goodness. Can't keep folks in a little bubble forever. Release them. Amen.
All right.
If you have evangelists in the church, release them. If you have evangelists in the church, amen. And if folks call themselves evangelists, they need to be out there on the street corners, in the crack house, in the parking lots, in the grocery stores, ministering to the lost. Amen. I have a pet peeve with evangelists that don't evangelize. Hello, I'm stepping on some toes. Praise God. But that's all right. Just put some ice on your toes, go home and get it right. Amen. I'm serious. If you're an evangelist, you need to be evangelizing. Your ministry is to the lost, period. You're not called to the church, period. You're not called to minister to the people that's already in the church. You're called to minister to the people who don't know Christ. You're called to the drug dealers, the drug addicts. You're called to the prostitutes. You're called to the pimps. You're called to the people outside of the four settings of the church. That's your ministry. You want a platform? There's plenty of street corners in your neighborhood, on the main strip. There's plenty of a hallelujah. There's plenty of platforms that can be your pulpit right there on the corner. Bless God.
God.
Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you today. So understand this. To be a prophet, and I noticed I just spoken about qualifications. Qualifications, amen. Every prophet must be qualified. Amen. Every prophet must be qualified. To be a prophet without qualifications leaves you open to deception. That's why you got so many prophets going wild now out here. It leaves you open to deception because the very nature of your prophetic call. See, the prophetic ministry requires that you really have yourself totally lined up with God. You have to be tested, tried, and proven. Amen. And I'm going to read this, too. It says, to have charisma without character leaves one open and vulnerable to the enemy of the people of God. So if you have all the gifts, you have all the you can speak in tongues, you can speak in about 8 different dialects of tongues in 2 minutes, you can prophesy and look spooky, hallelujah, but you have no character, then amen, you're gonna end up messing some folks up. Amen. Prophets are set second in the church. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Praise God. They're second in line. And it's a very all fivefold ministry gifts are important, but I'm focusing on the prophet tonight. Amen. And understand this too. I'm gonna get into the character of a prophet in just a second. I'm gonna get into that character part. Amen. But prophets, even in the New Testament, was given for perfecting and maturing the saints. You can read that in Ephesians 4:11 on down. Praise God. We can start at verse 9 and read all the way through 16. Amen. It was for the perfecting of the saints. You know, the work of bringing the saints into their ministry, amen, or their service to God, edifying, building up the body of Christ, amen. In the end, even in the midst of your rebuking and all that stuff, in the end, it should result in the people of God being built up. Yes, God chastises those he loves, and he might rebuke us, amen. The Lord might give us a word of rebuke or correction or direction through a prophet. Amen. But understand this. Prophecy is not to whoop somebody down. I see on Facebook, amen, a lot of these prophets, all they got is doom and gloom all the time. You know, and understand this. I'm a doom and gloom prophet myself. When it comes to this nation, you know, the Lord never has nothing good to say. You know, but in the midst of it, it ought to be some kind of hope. Amen. If you constantly, every day, the Lord always giving you a word of rebuke, a word of rebuke, a word of rebuke, and there's never no way of repentance or no hope of repentance. Amen. Understand this. The Bible says that God even gave Jezebel a space to repent. Amen. Even though he rebuked what she was doing, he gave her a space to repent. She didn't take it, but he gave it to her. Amen. So even as a prophet, that's why it's good that prophets be tried, tested, proven, delivered. Yeah, because some of these prophets out here, they need deliverance. Amen. A lot of them hurt and wounded. Amen. And they need some deliverance. They need some love. Amen. Because you can't love somebody if you don't feel loved. You can only give what you got. And if you don't have no love, amen, then you can't give love. Hallelujah. That was for somebody. Praise God. Praise God. Also, now this is another function of prophetic ministry too, amen. And I really want to try to get through as much as I can. I got so much, amen. Really want to get through as much as I can. This says the prophets were used to confirm the separation of Paul and Barnabas to apostolic work from the church at Antioch, Acts 13. You can read that. The Bible says that it was certain prophets and teachers. Amen. And named all the prophets and teachers. Paul and Barnabas was among the many prophets and teachers. Praise God. And they said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them. And then they laid hands on them. They fasted. And they prayed. Amen. They laid hands. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to them and said, release them. So they released them into their apostolic ministry. Amen. Prophets need to be in ordination services, okay? If you're a leader and you're going to ordain some folks, you need not just the apostolic, but you need the prophetic present. You need a presbytery of apostles, prophets, amen, present. Praise God. You need them present, amen. Prophets, amen, they play a very important part in ordination. Amen. You can see where Saul was ordained and David was ordained. Amen. He used a prophet to ordain them. Amen. He used Moses. Amen. To install Aaron and his sons in the priestly office. Amen. Moses was a prophet. Amen. He also was of the Levitical line from Levi. Praise God. But he didn't play the role of the priest that was given to Aaron and his descendants and his sons. Hallelujah. That's why every church needs prophets. Amen. Prophets were used for ordination, impartation, and release. Amen. There's no proper ordination. I mean, you can give folks a piece of paper. But without the apostolic and the prophetic flowing in that ordination, it's not doing nothing. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is another thing too. I want to address. Want to address this real quick, and then we're gonna go into some more. We're going to really go into some more stuff, amen. It's a lot that I want to cover. Praise God. Prophets must have their spirits under control. Let me say that again. I love this part right here. Prophets must have their spirit under control and be subject to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never cause a prophet to act or speak contrary to his will or his word. The Bible says that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And that's in the same chapter where he was talking about order of spiritual gifts, because the Corinthian church, you know, they were so caught up in their giftings, amen, that they start being out of order. So God kind of had to set the record straight. Amen. He had to Apostle Paul had to put their gifts in check. That's why every prophet needs an apostle, amen, because the apostolic anointing brings balance. You know, what you see now is a lot of unbalanced apostles, amen. They don't have that balance. But a true apostolic anointing brings balance to all the other gifts. We measure in the spirit. We know how much prayer is needed, how much intercession is needed, how much prophetic is needed, how much teaching is needed, how much deliverance is needed. Come on now, how much impartation is needed. Amen. God has given us the ability as wise master builders, according to the scriptures, amen, to be able to measure what's needed, how much is needed, how much outreach and evangelistic work needs to be done. In the city, we measure in the spirit. Amen. So they was all chaotic, so the Apostle Paul had to be like, man, look, everybody trying to prophesy, all the prophets out of control. This will be leading the church, but they out of control with the church. So let me just put all this in its proper order real quick. Amen. I'm paraphrasing now, y'all. Bless God. Amen. But the spirits of the prophets are supposed to be subject to the prophets. Amen. And I notice, like, when I go on prayer lines, or well, I don't do too much of going on other folks' prayer lines. And then even on here from time to time, you know, you'll have some prophets, amen, they come on here and they prophesy all this long-winded stuff, repetitious stuff, you know. Understand this. I know God is always speaking. And understand that some folks just start feeling themselves when they prophesy. You know, they get into, understand this, you know, prophecy, and when you're prophesying, you don't have to say 100 words to describe one thing. Just describe what it is you're saying and be through with it. Amen. And then some people, you know, and that's something that, you know, I don't necessarily talk about it too much, because a lot of prophets have to grow out of this. It all depends on, you know, if you were trained or not properly in the prophetic. But, you know, some people got to speak in tongues for 4 hours before they give a prophecy. You know, somebody, I see, and then before they get the I see out, they done spoken about 4 or 5 different dialects of tongues. I'm like, excuse me, you know, just speak what the Lord says. You don't have to go into all that.
Say that.
Hallelujah. I'm serious, man. I used to be like that too. So, amen. That's something that you have to grow out of. Amen. Amen. You might have a gift, but your gift needs to be matured. Your gift needs to be purified. It needs to be tried. Amen. And some people just. And another thing too, you don't have to yell when you prophesy. Hell, you don't have to yell and speak in tongues when you prophesy. Amen. Some people be yelling, and the Lord said, "I'm like, man, what is that? I mean, you working up a sweat for nothing? Just." I mean, if you go sweat, let it be because of the anointing, not because you exercise. Amen. I'm trying to help some folks. Amen. I ain't come to try to condemn you, bash you, nothing. That's just the area that you got to grow in, you know. But all that is not necessary, you know. For the last month or so, the way that I prophesy has changed. Amen. The way that I prophesy has totally changed, you know, because, you know, God had to teach me, hey, you don't take all that. You don't got to yell and scream, and you don't got to speak in tongues every five words, and then it's shat-ta-ta, and the Lord said, no, in Itobo, shat-ta, and the Lord says you're going to get this, and the Lord says that this needs to change, and, you know, you've been doing at-ta-da-da-bo-sha and all this other stuff, you know. Every five seconds. I know sometimes when you're flowing in the spirit, the tongues just come out. But every 5 seconds, every 5 words you got to speak in tongues, then something is wrong. Don't get me wrong. I speak in tongues when I prophesy, and I know everybody's not there, so I'm not condemning that. Something is wrong. The reason why I say something is wrong is because that's an area that needs growth in. Amen. Amen. You can prophesy. Try prophesying without speaking in tongues. That's what I advise everybody. You know, until you get to the place of maturity in your gift. When you get to the place of maturity in your gift, you know it's not going to take all that. Now, some people, when they prophesy, it could go either way, because some people, when they prophesy, they don't speak in tongues at all, but their gifts still be immature. Amen. So it varies. It depends on where you are. Amen. So when you have proper equipping in your gifting, then it shows who you're being taught by, or it shows if you're not being taught at all. You're just learning as you go. Amen. But the Apostle Paul had to put their giftings in check because they started being out of control and wild with it. Amen. They started being out of control with it. So the Apostle Paul had to say, hey, hold up. You know, if you want to prophesy, then your prophecy is going to have to be judged. Amen. Two or three prophets going to have to judge your word. Amen. And we don't have that no more. Amen. Amen. Prophecies are not being judged anymore. Amen. Amen. That's why I like when prophets come on the line. I'm talking about this line here, because that way when prophecy's going forth, it can be judged. Hallelujah. It needs to be weighed in the spirit. It does. Amen. It's not to make you scared or intimidated or nothing like that, but that's what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. I bless God. Amen. We getting there, y'all. We getting there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want to mention this real quick, amen. Continuing on the ministry of the prophet, amen. All throughout your prophetic ministry, amen. These are the things that should be present with prophetic ministry. Okay, I'm gonna just say it like this: visions, dreams, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, miracles, healings, gift of faith, discerning of spirits, prophecy. Amen. At least these things here ought to be with the ministry of the prophet. Amen. Let me say that again. Visions, dreams, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, miracles, healing, gift of faith, discerning of spirits, prophecy. Amen. Hallelujah. Prophecy. Amen. Every prophet also has the gift of prophecy. And remember, for those of y'all who know that I taught on the prophetic, the gift of prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort, not judgment and condemnation. Amen. However, when you're walking in the ministry of the prophet and the mantle of the prophet is on you, amen, God may have you to speak a word of judgment. But understand that, you know, before the Lord start releasing you to speak a word of a judgment and to go forth in that type of ministry to its fullest capacity, the Lord will have to really make your character, because as a prophet you can't be judgmental. Amen. Because if you're judgmental, then your words are going to always be judgmental. And that's what we see now. You know, a lot of prophets that are judgmental because they was released before time. They was not properly equipped. They have not received deliverance ministry. Some folks going forth as prophets still have demons that need to be cast out of them. They still have hurt in their heart that needs to be dealt with. Amen. Also, now, I'm gonna come to that later on. Come to that later on. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I have a lot of things that I really want to cover. Amen. I have a lot of things before me, but we gonna get there. Praise God. Now we have to learn how to test the spirit. Amen. Like I mentioned earlier. It says in the mouth we have to discern and test the spirit of truth and the spirit of error in the prophet. Amen. And there's three spirits, amen, that can be in operation in a prophet. All right? When a person is given a word now, is three spirits that can be behind that. It could be the Holy Spirit. That he would be in the mouth of a true prophet. Praise God. The human spirit. Amen. And Ezekiel talks about how, I believe in Ezekiel 13, it talks about how the prophets spoke out of their own heart and out of their own spirit and had seen nothing. Amen. So they have not seen nothing from God. They may have tried to see it themselves. Amen. And when prophets speak out of their own spirit, a lot of the times they're speaking out of their own personal hurts. Amen. And because of their hurt, they become judgmental and critical. Amen. Amen. They just begin to speak forth their things. Amen. And whatever's in their heart, they just speak it. Amen. There's no transformation, no deliverance, no nothing. They just speak it. Amen. The person over them probably didn't recognize their gift and just let them go with no deliverance. And half the time, if your leader lets you go like that, that means your leader needs deliverance too. I'm just being honest.
Well,
hallelujah. I'm not coming to bash leaders today. Praise God. And then also, it could be the spirit of the enemy. Most likely a lying spirit. Amen. The lying spirit was in the mouth of the prophets of Baal. Amen. So that's why we need to try and test. That's why every word, every prophetic word needs to be weighed in the spirit. There ought to be prophets to judge their word. Hallelujah. Amen. We also need to test the fulfillment of the prophetic word. Amen. It said everybody knew. Now, if you read the book of Samuel, everybody knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of God because God didn't let none of his words fall to the ground. You can read that in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, 19 through the 21st verse. Amen. And then you can also read Deuteronomy 18:22. You can also read that too. Amen. Now, somebody always saying, thus saith the Lord, and, you know, this going to happen in this amount of days, and, you know, and it don't happen, then that prophet, amen, needs to go back, amen, and pray and find out what's wrong. And they leaders, whoever's over them, definitely, amen, need to pray and see what's wrong. Praise God. Amen. And understand this. Just because you miss something don't make you necessarily a false prophet, okay? It don't make you a false prophet, amen. But you might have spoke something that you thought was God, or the enemy may have tried to creep a little something in there. Because one thing that God showed me, he showed me that there's warfare that surrounds every prophetic word that's being released. So a lot of times the enemy tries to confuse the prophet. But if you spend more time in the presence of God, amen, then that will eliminate this more. Amen. Every prophet should be a worshiper, an intercessor, and somebody who stays in the presence of God. The prophet stayed having supernatural encounters with God in the Bible. Why? Because they had a relationship with God. They stayed in the presence of God. They always communed with God. Amen. God was the center of their everything. Amen. I bless God today. Amen. Now, also, the prophet should be tested in the area of worship. Though the prophet may give a sign or a dream that come to pass, another test is whether his word leads one away from the worship of idols to the worship of God. Amen. True prophets calls people to worship God. Amen. Every every word that you speak ought to point the people back to God. Amen. If a prophet, amen, conducts a service and God, you know, moves very powerfully, and people are always talking about how the prophet and the prophet this and the prophet that, and that prophet never redirects their attention, their focus, and their worship back to God, then that prophet has failed. Amen. That prophet has failed. Hallelujah. I thank God. Prophets should be tested in doctrine. Amen. You can't go around teaching and preaching stuff that ain't God. Amen. If you're a prophet and you're in the presence of God, amen, the Lord is going to give you, amen, the right directives, the right things to preach. He's going to give you the right interpretation of the word of God. Even if it's something that people have not heard before, he give you in-depth revelation on the word of God. It's not going to detour from the original plan of God. Your doctrine must be tested. Amen. Your fruit must be tested. The Bible says you'll know a false prophet by his fruit, not his gifts. Amen. There's a difference. But a prophet will be known whether he's true or false by his fruits. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. Praise God. So you will be tested in your fruit. False prophets may have gifts, but they lack holiness. What is the fruit of the ministry? What is the fruit of your life? Amen. Hallelujah. It's not about your gifts. And once again, you can't mistake charisma for character. Amen. Prophets must be proven in the area of covetousness. Amen. You will know prophets, whether they're true or false, and other ministries by their love of money. And Bishop Bill Hammond, he had, and I truly love this. He had posted something, because he wrote a series of prophetic books, and he calls this the 10 M's for ministry. Amen. Manhood, ministry, message, maturity, marriage, methods, manners, money, morality, and motives. Amen. These are the 10 M's. These should be the qualifications for every prophetic leader. Amen. Manhood, God makes the man before manifesting the ministry. Amen. What about your ministry? There to be no offenses in your ministry. Amen. There ought to be power and demonstration in your ministries. Amen. Your prophecies, everything. Your message. Do you speak the truth? Not just the truth, but speak the truth in love. And some folks that speak the truth, but they don't speak it in love. Amen. Present truth, not just any kind of truth, not Daniel in the lion's den truth. Amen. I'm talking about present truth that will transform the minds of the people of God. That's going to change their perspective. Amen. Is your message balanced? Is it doctrinally sound? Amen. Amen. Understand that if your word is true, God is going to confirm it. Amen. Maturity. Is your attitude right? Amen. Can you relate to people? Amen. Do you operate in wisdom? Once again, the fruit of the Spirit. Do you operate in it? Is your character Christ-like? Marriage. And this is one of my favorite ones here. Is your house in order? The Bible says you can't run the household of God if your house is not in order. Amen. You have a lot of pastors who understand that we need to pray for the marriages of these pastors because everybody's getting a divorce. Amen. Everybody's getting a divorce now. Amen. And that's not God. You know, a lot of pastors, they get divorced and then they still want to preach in the pulpit. I'm sorry. The Bible strictly condemns it until you get your house in order, amen, you get your marriage lined up, your children constantly being unruly, amen, until you get your house lined up, praise God, you can't lead the people of God. Hallelujah. God first, your family second, your spouse second, and your family third. Amen. Methods. I mean, are you honest? Do you have integrity of your methods? You can't be manipulative and deceptive. Amen. You can't do that. Manners. I mean, are you unselfish? Are you polite? Are you kind? Amen. Do you talk right? Your money. I'm just going over the 10 M's. Amen. Do you have a love for materialism? Amen. And money, is that the motivation for why you do what you do? Morality. Amen. You got to be sexually pure. Hallelujah. That sexual sin is running rampant amongst the prophets. I got to say it. I got to call it like it is. Amen. And some folks need to get on the wall and start praying about that. And then praying against that. Last one, your motives. Amen. What is it that drives you to do what you do? I always say this all the time, that the love of God should be your motive for everything that you do. Your love for God and his people should be the motive behind what you do. Amen. I bless God. Hallelujah. Also, I want to get into some of the roles of a prophet. And like I said, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, the Lord has given me insight on, but I also looked up just a couple of other resources. Praise God, ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. If you want to know something more, amen, about something, you just borrow somebody else's mind on the subject. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to say this real quick, and I read this, and this was so profound, and I believe it to be very important. These are just some of the roles that a prophet can function in, amen, are supposed to function in, amen. The first role is prayer, amen. An important part of a prophet's task is prayer, amen. You can't be a prophet and don't have a prayer life. Amen. If you don't have a prayer life, I mean, you really can't tell me nothing. I'm sorry. You know, if you don't have a prayer life, amen. Because the prophet knows the mind of the Lord, he or she is in a position to pray effectively. You pray better when you know what's going on. Amen. And as a prophet, the Lord is going to always give you insight. The Bible says that God does nothing. I believe it's Amos 3:7. The Bible does nothing. The Lord does nothing unless he reveals it to a prophet first. Amen. The prophet has a clear picture of what God is doing, so he knows, he or she knows, where prayer is needed the most. The prophet watches over the word of the Lord and prays it into being. He or she must not rest until the word is fulfilled. Amen. And this is something too. A saying by a person named Bruce Yoakam. It says, an important part of the prophet's task is unceasing prayer for the Christian community. The prophets, because they knew what the mind of the Lord was, were in a position to pray more effectively than other men. They had a clearer picture of what God was doing, and so they knew when prayer was needed most. They were also able to pray true prophetic prayers in which the Holy Spirit directed and guided their very manner and words. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to read one more thing. One more thing, too. And this is so important, too. The prophet is also a mediator. Let me say that again. Talking about intercession here. Before you can be a prophet, before you can be an apostle, prophet, you are first an intercessor. I'm going to say it again. Before you can be a prophet, You are first an intercessor. You are called to prayer and intercession. Amen. Moses stood between the people and God time after time. Moses stood in the gap on behalf of the nation before an angry God. Amen. Consequently, intercession played a vital part in Moses' life. As a prophet, Moses felt in his heart the burden of the message he brought to the people. He was deeply moved when Israel did not respond to the command of God. Amen. Every prophet should have the heartbeat of God. Let me get on this for a second. Every prophet should have the heartbeat of God. I don't understand when prophets don't feel what God feels. Amen. Understand that if you are a true prophet, amen, you're going to hurt when God hurts. Amen. You're going to cry when God cries. You're going to feel something. Amen. I want to give a testimony real quick. I gave it on last show, amen, but many of you that are on now wasn't on last night when I spoke this. Amen. Sunday, I began to pray. Amen. And this never happened to me before. It was the first time. And understand that, you know, people that know me know that I don't weep. I'm not a weeper. I don't weep. You know, I can cry. I do cry from time to time, you know, but that I'm not a weeper like that. And I began to pray, and then an anointing just came on me, and I just began to cry and weep and sob. I'm like, my God, I just began to pray and cry out, you know, for the nation and cry out for the church and for the people, even the ones that was lost. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, those are not your tears, those are mine. I'm like, wow. I'm like, my Jesus. You know, because I've cried out for people before, but not in this manner. And I can tell the certain things that grieve God the most, because when I begin to intercede and call it out, I just begin to sob more and more and more and more. I'm like, my God. And he's very grieved over the condition of the church, and he's very grieved over the political realm as well. Because when I begin to pray for the president and I begin to pray for the government, the Lord was very grieved. Amen. He was very grieved. Amen. So as prophets, amen, we ought to be able to feel what God feels. Amen. And not just condemning folks all the time, because God ain't trying to kill folks all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Every prophet should receive the word of the Lord. A key role of the prophet is waiting in the presence of God to receive the word of God. A prophet has to spend time in prayer with God. You know, every prophet ought to spend time in prayer with God. Amen. It's not just, you know, to go and say what you want to say and leave. Amen. Some folks need to go into the presence of God, learn how to wait and be quiet and let him talk. Amen. Some of us have talked so much that God is like backed up in the spirit. Amen. And he want to say so much, but every time he want to say something to you, you get up. You done dumped all your burdens on God, but then all of a sudden when God wants to put something in your spirit, you get up. You don't want to hear. And as a prophet anyway, you should have an open line of communication. God should be able to talk to you anywhere. But when you spend, but it's something about when you go into prayer, when you lay before the Lord, or when you just present yourself before the Lord. Amen. It's just something about that. My God. Hallelujah. So you can't be a lazy when it comes to receiving a word from the Lord. Amen. A guy named Milton Smith said this. He said, the prophet stood before men as a man who had been made to stand before the Lord. Amen. Understand this. God is sovereign. We can't tell him when to speak. Hearing from God always requires us to wait. Amen. In order to be a prophet, you must know what it is like also to suffer. Amen. I tell this story all the time. When the Lord first called me to be a prophet, I'm like, no, indeed. I'm like, devil, I rebuke you. Because I knew I was called to the fivefold ministry somewhere. But a prophet was totally out of my mind. Pastor, I didn't want the responsibility of people. So I knew that was that wasn't it. And prophet, no, indeed, because that got suffering with a capital S on it. Amen. And then apostle was out of the question because that didn't even come to my mind, not one time. And when the Lord spoke to me, and this is when he first called me to be a prophet, he told me, I asked him, I said, where do I fit in the fivefold ministry? The Lord said, you're a prophet. I'm like, the devil is a lie. And then he asked somebody else not too many days after that to call me and tell me everything that I prayed and told me the answer that God told me. I'm like, man. Why did I be a prophet? You see what I'm saying? Because I didn't want that suffering. Come on now. I didn't want that suffering. I'm being real. So now I don't understand why folks want to be prophets and not even sure if they're called to be a prophet. Amen. If God told you you're a prophet, by all means, then prepare yourself to walk in that. Amen. But if he did not tell you that you're a prophet and you run around just because you got a gift of prophecy calling yourself prophet, amen. You just need to humble yourself, gracefully bow out, pray, and see what area of ministry that you're called to. Because a lot of times you can be a teacher with the gift of prophecy, or a lot of times you can be a pastor with the gift of prophecy, or an evangelist with the gift of prophecy. Amen. You got to know where you're called. You can't operate outside of the grace that God has called you to. You can't do it. You're not going to be effective. You're going to hurt more people than you help them. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, you must be willing to suffer as a prophet. All the prophets in the Bible walked out their message. They demonstrated it. Amen. They demonstrated it. Ezekiel laying on his side 390 days. He demonstrated the message of the Lord. Isaiah, I believe it was Isaiah, he the one that walked barefooted. Amen. Symbolizing something. They demonstrated the message of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. So you got to be willing. Be willing. Amen. To suffer. Prophetic ministry requires suffering. Amen. Worship. I'm just going through a couple of things that comes with prophetic ministry. Amen. I mentioned a little bit about worship earlier. The prophetic ministry can often play an important part in worship. And you kind of see, we're seeing this kind of like this prophetess Miriam anointing coming upon worship leaders. A prophetic people that's in the area of worship, because when Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, the Bible says that the Miriam, the prophetess, led the people in song. She led the people in praise and worship. Amen. We're seeing this now. We're seeing a lot of prophets now who has a minstrel type gifting. Amen. David was one that was also skilled in minstrel, this Davidic type of anointing, and this Miriam type anointing is really coming upon the people of God, and you're seeing a lot of prophets now with musical abilities. Amen. You're going to see more of that in the days, praise God, to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then also now I want to read this. I want to read this real quick. 1 Chronicles 25. I'm gonna read 1 Chronicles 25. 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. It says, "Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to service the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy. Come on now. With harps. My Jesus. With psalteries. And with cymbals. And with the number of the workmen according to their service was. Hallelujah. So the prophetic and the minstrels went together. Hallelujah. My God. And we're going to see more of that in the days that are upon us. Matter of fact, in this season, the Lord is causing this to happen. Amen. Another a role of prophetic ministry is encouragement of the brethren. Encouragement of the brethren is an important aspect of prophetic ministry, not just condemnation all the time. Amen. Judas and Silas says in Acts 15:32 that Judas and Silas, who were also prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brethren. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can't always have a ministry of condemnation. Haggai, the prophet, amen, he sent a message, the Lord sent a message to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua, the high priest, and the Lord, and even to the people, he said, he told Haggai to tell the people that I am with you. You can read that in Haggai chapter 1, and I believe it's the verses 13 to 15. You can read that. Amen. And also Ezra 5, 1 and 2 talks about how Haggai and Zechariah prophesied, amen, to the Jews, amen, while they were rebuilding. And they was building under the prophetic ministry of Haggai and Zechariah. Amen. Hallelujah. A prophet should also know what is to come. A prophet. I'm not just talking about somebody with the gift of prophecy, but I'm talking about the ministry of the prophet. They should know what is to come. Praise God. Amen. And we find that all over the scriptures. Amen. I'm going to read something. It says, God, let me see, calls to repentance. Now check this out. Calls to repentance and calls to practical holiness are based on a word concerning the future. The vision of wrath to come is the basis of a present seeking of the mercy of God. So when somebody says something is to come, especially if it's bad, is to get the people to act now in the present. Amen. Is to get the people to repent in the present. Praise God. And when something is good is prophesied in the future, amen, it is also to encourage the people to remain in obedience in the present. Hallelujah. So every prophet should know what is to come to a certain degree. Because the Bible says we know in part, amen, and we prophesy in part. So you're not going to know everything, but you're going to have to, but if you're a prophet, amen, you should know something about what is to come. Amen. A prophet is also used for direction and guidance. And I'm going over a lot of stuff that I mentioned earlier, but I'm gonna mention this in greater detail. Prophets bring the word of the Lord to the church. Understand this. And understand this, too, that Christians can get so caught up in the events of the world that they do not see what God is doing. This is particularly true in times of turmoil. And when it can be very hard to see the hand of God at work. So prophets will give direction and vision in these situations so that God's people will know what is happening and what they should do. Amen. The prophet Gad provided guidance to David and showed him how to avoid trouble. Amen. It says, but to the prophet Gad said David, do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah. So David left and went to the forest of Herath, 1 Samuel 22:5. Amen. Prophets can give directions to those seeking the will of God. Sometimes the prophetic will be for the church as a whole or for the leadership of the church. And understand this, okay? The Bible does say that God does nothing unless he reveals it to a prophet. He does nothing in the earth unless he reveals it to a prophet. All right? Understand this, okay? And it's good to go to a prophet for guidance, amen, and a understanding. And there's nothing wrong with seeking a word from the Lord every once in a while. Amen. But understand this, okay? That prophet is not your God. That prophet is not your source. Here, if you receive a word from a prophet, most of the time, now this is not always the case, but the most of the time it should be the case, whatever that prophet speak to you ought to be confirmation. I've had certain things unfold in my life that was spoken to me, and the Lord did not recently, you know, spoke that to me. However, it bear witness with my spirit, even when it was good or if it was bad. Amen. I can remember some prophet called me one time and gave me pretty much a word of correction. You know, and the Lord did not show me that. But I was sensitive enough to God to know that the Spirit of the Lord was speaking. And sure enough, later on, I, the Lord corrected that, you know, with me. But that didn't happen to me all the time. That happened to me, like, probably a few times. Amen. Because when you're constantly seeking God, he's constantly going to be speaking to you. Amen. He's constantly going to be speaking to you. And when a prophet comes to you, it should be confirmation for the most part. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you on today. Amen. Check this out. The prophet admonishes, warns, directs, intercedes, teaches, and counsels. I'm going to say it again. The prophet admonishes, warns, teaches, intercedes, and counsels. But more importantly, he stands at the walls to see what is the Lord doing, that he may call the body to respond. The prophet ought to know what God is doing and then bring the word to the body, amen, and then cause the body to respond according to what the Lord is doing. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to help you out now for your prophetic foundation. Praise God. A prophet is called to stand in the counsels of the Lord. He stands before God. Having stood before God, he is set to stand for God, before his people, and speak his word. Every prophet should have stood in the counsel of the Lord. You ought to spend time in prayer and in consecration. Amen. Hallelujah. Every prophet. And I bless God today. I don't understand when prophets don't pray. Prophets should have the strong, out of the whole fivefold ministry, the prophets should have the most deepest, strongest prayer life. Out of the whole fivefold ministry, the prophet ought to have the most deep, strongest prayer life. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the ministry of the prophet is directive, not the gift of prophecy. And I keep making that difference because I feel like it's necessary. Hallelujah. Ezekiel was encouraged to watch. Amen. I'm going to get into that watchman anointing in a little bit. Amen. We'll get into that watchman anointing. Prophets can also have dreams and visions and interpret dreams and visions. Daniel was an example of an interpreter of dreams and visions. Joseph was an example of an interpreter of dreams and visions. Amen. Every prophet has dreams and visions to a certain degree. Amen. And some people may be more skilled in interpretation, and in others, a lot of interpretation comes through training. Amen. But prophets definitely deal in the supernatural with dreams and visions. Hallelujah. Correction, admonition. I had mentioned that before. Amen. And you have a lot of confrontational prophets, and usually when the Lord calls you to expose or to rebuke, he takes you through a rough process, you know, because you got to die to that flesh before you go forth in that manner. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Every prophet should be able to interpret the signs of the time. Every prophet should be able to interpret the signs of the times. Amen. I'm going to read Luke 12, 54-56, and it says, he said to the crowd, when ye see the cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearances on the of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time? Prophets must be able to understand the signs of the times and interpret them. I mean, we ought to know why stuff the way that it is. Whatever goes on, we ought to have enough prophetic insight to know why that this is happening. Why is the homosexual agenda increasing? Why? Come on now. Why is all these storms getting more violent and more violent? Why? We ought to know these things. We ought to know the signs of the times. Amen. We ought to know that. Amen. Praise God. The seer, and I'm reading something now. The seer is one who has understood, who has understanding of the times. This person has the ability to perceive and discern the spiritual significance of a situation and can give the Lord's perspective on a given situation. Amen. The person's strengths are giftings of illumination and discernment, though they may or may not communicate what they see in any one set or particular manner. This kind of prophet is extremely valuable as a watchman and intercessor in the midst of the church. I told you, every prophet is an intercessor. Amen. And a watchman, too. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to read one more thing. Check this out. If a prophet has no personal history with God, no spiritual depth to draw from, no deep root and firm soil established over many seasons of Christian experience, how can the prophet presume to speak from a position of revelation into what God is telling the church today? Amen. So if you haven't been seasoned, amen, how you going to tell the church what's going on? Amen. Furthermore, if a prophet cannot accurately interpret and read the signs of the present time, if a prophet cannot correctly judge and precisely discern his own generation, if a prophet cannot relate to what God is saying and doing in the terms of present truth, how can the prophet presume to speak of future events? So how you going to prophesy something that's going to happen ahead of time and you don't even know what's going on now? Hallelujah. Amen. I bless God for that. That truly blessed me. That truly blessed me. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't lose nobody yet, huh? Amen. I know some folks. Some folks started getting off the line, amen. I know I ain't, you know, tickling nobody's ears today, amen, but every prophet need to be on here, amen. And God bless Prophet Bob. He had to leave. God bless you. Amen. The Prophet Bob is definitely an awesome man of God. I look forward to hearing from him again. Amen. Amen. I bless God. Now, I told you all about the testing of prophecy, right? The two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said, 1 Corinthians 14:29. Amen. Part of the prophetic role is to sit and listen to prophecies and weigh carefully the words that are spoken. This is something two or three should do together. If a prophecy does not get a consensus of support, it should be discarded. Testing prophecies, understand this, testing prophecies is a very important aspect of the prophetic ministry. We are now hearing more and more prophetic words being spoken to the church, but the quality is still very mixed. Christians do not know which words they should take seriously. Folks don't know. Many warnings of disasters haven't even been fulfilled yet. This unclear sounding of the trumpet is producing confusion in the church. The solution is for prophets to get more involved in testing of prophecies and sorting out the wheat from the chaff. Churches that are moving in prophecy should set up processes for this to happen. Amen. If prophecies will begin to be weighed and tested, come on now. If prophecies begin to be weighed and tested, we will see less of false prophecies or prophets that are speaking out of their own spirit. Amen. Amen. And the thing about it is, you know, we just let folks prophesy, and you know, they can say all kind of crazy stuff. Lord, you know, Pastor, I seen a monkey on a jungle gym in the church, and I seen it in the vision, I seen it, and I seen the glory, you know, stuff like, yeah, you know, help me, Jesus. All this stuff got to be weighed and tested. Yeah, you know, we can't just allow people just to get up and just to prophesy, amen, amen. And these people have not been tested, proven. These people can't be released. Every leader of a ministry that's on the line, you ought to check your folks' Facebooks to see what they're releasing. Come on now, because a lot of folks, been at the churches won't let them release nothing. Amen. They release stuff on Facebook and the stuff be half off and everything else. And so we got to begin to really allow these words to be judged. Amen. Amen. And if you are a prophet, God is not calling you to be a lone range prophet, a lone ranger. Amen. Every prophet needs to be around other prophets. And you definitely need to be covered with an apostolic accountability. Amen. You know, some prophets don't want to hear that because they don't want to be covered. Amen. They just want to be by themselves. Amen. They just want to do ministry with no accountability. Somebody ought to come in occasionally, amen, and check your fruit. You ought to have somebody over you to come and check your fruit. Amen. Somebody ought to check your fruit. If you got a ministry, somebody should be able to come in and check your ministry fruit. But we don't want to be accountable to nobody. Amen. I don't care if you apostle. I don't care if you apostle so-and-so. You need somebody to come check your fruit, too. Every apostle needs apostles around them, and he or she needs an apostle over them. Bless God on today. Hallelujah. Amen. The apostle Timothy was an apostle. He performed an apostolic function. Everybody say Timothy was a pastor. No, he was an apostle. He set leaders in order and in position. Hallelujah. However, amen, he had the apostle Paul as his oversight. Titus had the apostle Paul as his oversight. So every apostle needs an apostolic accountability. Amen. Peter had Jesus when he was walking the earth. Amen. And he was still subject to the other apostles, because even though the apostle Paul, even though he was over the apostle Paul, amen, because Peter was the recognized lead apostle of that generation. He was. However, the apostle Paul, even though the apostle Paul did not was not birthed forth from Peter, however, amen, even Peter being the lead apostle of that generation, the apostle Paul still came to him and be like, look, you can't be doing that with them folks here. You can't be acting one way with the Jews and then another way with the Gentiles. What is that? That ain't of God. Amen. The Bible says that Paul opposed Peter on that subject. Amen. So you need not only somebody over you to check your fruit, but you need folks around you to keep you straight as well. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My Lord. Every prophet, and this is just my strong belief, that every prophet to some degree should have some type of watchman type anointing. Amen. Understand this. Before you can be a prophet, you need to first learn how to pray. You need to first learn how to know what it's like to be an intercessor before you become a prophet. Amen. Get on the intercessory prayer team and pray. Learn how to pray first. Learn how to pray for your pastor. Learn how to labor in prayer for your church. Learn how to wail and travail and warfare in the spirit first before you start trying to be a prophet. Amen. Amen. You got to first learn these things first. Amen. And everybody on the intercessory prayer team should be watchmen in the spirit. That means that your intercessory prayer team should see something coming ahead of time. Amen. Because a watchman is somebody that watches for danger. So this is not just the role of the prophets, but this is the role of the intercessors. And every prophet is an intercessor. And before you can become a prophet, you first must know what it's like to be an intercessor. Every prophet in the Bible felt the burden of God for the people, and they felt the weight of the sin that was in the land, and they felt what God felt about it. And they felt, come on now, because understand, Jesus, my God, when you intercede, the Bible says that the strong bears the infirmities of the weak. Some folks don't even know what that means. And when you're an intercessor, you begin to bear other people's infirmities and burdens. My God, I'm going to teach on that another time. I'm going to teach on intercession on another segment, praise God. But every prophet, amen, Ezekiel was called a watchman. Come on now. He was called a watchman. Hallelujah. Every prophet should have a ministry of healing the sick, healing and deliverance. Amen. Elijah, Old Testament prophet, he moved in the gift of healing. Elisha, come on now, follow in his footsteps. Come on now. Amen. 2 Kings 4:32-35, it says, when Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got up on the bed, lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, and stretched himself upon him, and the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. He raised the dead. Hello. Hallelujah. Amen. So every prophet should have a healing and deliverance miracle type ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. I bless God. Amen. I praise God for this lesson on the day. Amen. I thank God for the people that came in and then some folks left, and some folks came back, and some folks left and didn't come back. I bless God, you know, for them also. I bless God for this time, amen, because understand this, that there must be some order to the prophetic now. I mean, my goodness. My God. I mean, so many people call themselves prophets, and I don't deny the call. Amen. I really don't deny the call of God upon these men and women of God's lives. However, I believe people must be trained in their gifts. Amen. People must be trained in their gifts, because a lot of people are not really, my Jesus, they're not really operating properly, amen, in their gifts. Amen. I see a lot of people daily, even people that I encounter daily, amen, they have gifts, but they're out of order with their gifts. Amen. But I bless God today, amen. And I'm just gonna go down the list here, amen. I see we have Humble 040, amen. God bless you. Guest 5, guest 8. We have a caller from Michigan. Who is that? Amen. Caller from Michigan.
This is Prophetess Beasley.
How you doing, woman of God? How you doing?
I'm blessed with the Lord.
Amen, amen. It's a pleasure to have you on the line today. Woman of God, there's such a powerful ministry that the Lord has given you. And I see you really dealing in the area of the hurts in people's lives. The Lord is going to use you to really minister in that area of people's lives. The Lord is going to give you such a deep insight into the hurt of other people, amen, because the Lord is going to really have you to minister to hurting people, because you know what it's like to be hurt, and you know what it's like to overcome and is overcoming, amen, different types of hurts and things like that. And the Lord has given you a very powerful ministry, and I'm seeing even when people have tried to come against what the Lord has placed in you, people have overlooked you. People have denied the call of God on your life, but still you did not deny it. Amen. There was a point in time that you wasn't fully walking in what God has called you to walk in, but now I just see the Lord just moving you forward. Amen. And as you continue to move forth in faith and in obedience, amen, the Lord is going to continue to add to you. Amen. The Lord is going to add to you. Amen. And the Lord has just given you a very powerful ministry, and He wants you to be encouraged here. And there's some things, too, that's getting ready to change in your life, too. Don't know quite what that is, amen, but I just heard the Lord say some things that's getting ready to change in your life, amen. There's some things that the Lord is really going to fix for you and turn around for you. Amen.
Glory.
Amen. It's some things that He's going to fix for you. Amen. I don't know quite what that is, but the Lord is going to fix it, and you just keep telling me that He's going to fix it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's some things that you don't even have to, you know, worry about. You don't have to concern yourself with, you know, because at the appointed time, everything going to line up. You just keep walking, and it's a pushing and a press for you in this season too, I feel, because you have a lot of opposition. I don't really know if you quite know what's going on or not, but I see it. I see a lot of opposition going on, amen. And I see, the enemy trying to even attach certain things to you, but the Lord is causing that to break even now as I speak. You just have a very powerful ministry. You're going to raise up a lot of prophetic sons and prophetic daughters, amen. To really go forth and duplicate the ministry that God has given you, but on a greater scale. Amen. You are indeed a mother in the spirit, the Lord says. And the Lord is raising you up in that motherly type spirit. Amen. So You just look out for that, and you know, you just be encouraged, and you just continue to go forth, head out of both shot, and everything that God has called you to do, hell.
Yes, and amen. Amen.
And the Lord is going to place the right people around you, too.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the Lord has been having me to prophesy this a lot to quite a few people. The Lord is going to place the right people around you. This is the season where the Lord is disconnecting. He's cutting stuff and folks away that's not going where you're going, and he's adding folks to you that are going where you're going, that is tied to your destiny. And you're in that same season where the Lord is cutting away some folks that don't need to be in your life, and the Lord is adding to you people that are supposed to be.
Amen.
Because understand this, that just because folks may have our best interest at heart don't mean they got God's best interest at heart.
Oh, wow.
There's a difference. There's a difference. So tola ba si. And think about it, is people may say, well, you know, I got your back, and they'll have your back 100%, but they don't got God's back.
See there?
And see, and being that you're for God and they're not, there has to be a separation, or else that contamination can jump on you. So before God even allows that, because of your heart, he's removing it. And I see some more, and I'm gonna say this wisely, amen. But I see some healing taking place with you.
Amen.
I see some healing taking place with you, more so inwardly.
Amen.
And I'm gonna leave that at that. Amen. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Amen. But the Lord is going to do that. Amen. And you just experienced a lot with leadership.
Right.
I really feel that you have experienced a lot with leadership. And my God, you know, and see, that's why you're going to be such a great leader, because of the things that you have experienced with leadership. But the Lord first is going to remove that, you know, from you, from your heart, and he's going to totally release that, amen. They did what they did, but forgive them, folks, and move on.
Amen.
Because a lot of times, I'm going to tell you something. Some folks had recently did some stuff to me. You know, I felt that they did some stuff to me, and, you know, I was really holding on to that thing. You know, and I'm like, you know, they ain't right, and they not right to this day. They ain't right. You see what I'm saying? I pray that they get right. I really do, because these folks really don't see where they're at. You see what I'm saying? But I'm telling you all this to say this.
Okay.
Amen. That the Lord really dealt with me about that. He said, you're going to have to forgive them. Because, see, every time you're always talking about them, or they always coming up in your conversations about what they did and everything like that, you got to forgive them, folks. I'm like, man, you know, I'm like, they so wrong. And, you know, I was in a position, you know, in life, and I felt like I was in that position in life because of them. You know, they put my life on hold for a very long time.
Right.
And the Lord said, forgive them.
Amen.
So a lot of times we think that we over someone, we just let it pass, like whatever. You know, but then, you know, come to find out, we haven't fully forgave.
Right.
Amen. So you might want to pray along those lines of those areas, because you have a very powerful call. You're a very powerful woman of God. And, you know, when we have stuff like that, you know, that God brings to the light, amen, he wants to deal with it immediately so he can really continue to move us forward.
Amen.
Amen. Because your call is too great, you know, to be held back by something as small as that. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So you be blessed, woman of God, and you be encouraged too. And the gift of definitely that gift of healing, I'm seeing the Lord stirring that up in greater measure in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The Lord is really stirring that up. I really feel that. I really see that. And as a matter of fact, the Lord told me you was gonna come on tonight too. I had to release this word to you because that's why He had me to send the invitation to you because He told me you was coming on tonight and you really really needed a word from the Lord. He told me you was coming on tonight.
I enjoyed the teaching. I still don't know how the connection, came about. I enjoyed the teaching, but because it was a couple different invitations for conferences and prayers, and I don't go to them.
Amen. I don't go to everybody's stuff either. I get invited all kind of stuff.
All the time.
I get invited all kind of stuff. Everybody want me to be this, and I get all kind of invitations, but I don't take them. Amen. Unless the Lord tells me to. And sometimes I just browse, and within the first 10 minutes, I can tell if I'm gonna stay or I'm gonna leave.
It's amazing because I stayed on all throughout the whole session, and I still don't know who you are.
Apostle Lionel Blair.
Apostle whom?
Lionel Blair.
Oh, okay. I don't remember. I would have to go through my inbox.
Yeah, I still can see your inbox.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the word, and this God is just doing an awesome work with this ministry that's on you, and I thank God for you.
Amen. I thank God for you too. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Who else is on the line? Amen. We have Central Indiana. Who is that?
Sister Angie. I didn't know my mute was off.
Who is it?
Prophetess Angie, Mister.
Oh. Hey. How you doing? I keep forgetting you from Indiana. Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's a
Amen.
Pleasure to have you on. It's definitely a pleasure to have you on. Amen.
Okay, that was
Amen.
A good word.
Amen. I bless the Lord. You just keep pushing here.
All right. Mm-hmm.
You just keep pushing, and everything that you need is going to be added to you. Amen. Amen. Who is that from Louisiana? And is that Prophetess Green?
Yes, sir, it is.
Oh, okay. Amen. Hallelujah. And South Central North Carolina, who is that?
Sybil.
I thought it was you. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Amen. Amen. I'm doing great. I am doing great. How you been since the last time you was on the call? How you been?
God's been blessed and the enemy been fighting, with the kids, and it's been wild. But, God, He comes and He overcomes through us. So,
Amen. You know you still have the authority to make everything that's not like God subject to the kingdom, right?
That's right.
You have the authority. And I've been seeing some of the stuff you've been posting on Facebook, too. Amen. The Lord is definitely doing a work, and I'm going to tell you something. I've gotten a lot of deep revelation in words, amen, through my trials. A lot of things that I've been through, I've gotten the most deep revelation and of the mysteries of God and the will of God. I've seen all kind of stuff and heard all kind of stuff from God. And the greatest times that I had with God was through my trials. The times where I had to cry and crawl, on the floor late at night. And those, I'm telling you, those were the times where I really began to really experience a shifting and a transformation. And you are in a season of shifting and transformation, And a lot of times when you are being transitioned like that, in the beginning, it never feels good. It never feels good in the beginning because you just be, it seems like, Lord, how long just going to keep going like this? I'm praying, I'm prophesying, I'm speaking, head of a boshata. But there's, my God, and I spoke this yesterday, but there's a release of angelic activity on the scale that we never experienced before. The Lord is really causing the angels to be released in this hour. And he said that, if the people of God would just begin to pray more, because I talked about prayer yesterday, you know, because prayer is very vital in this season. The Lord said that if the people of God would just begin to pray, amen, just begin to intercede and pray and wail and travail, if the people of God would just begin to get into a place of prayer and not be laden with the prayers, amen, that the angelic activity will just increase in a tremendous way, amen. And woman of God, I encourage you to pray like you never prayed before. I let the Holy Ghost lead you in your prayer. Get in that secret place and pray, yeah, because your prayers is going to birth something in the atmosphere. Matter of fact, it's not going to just birth something in your life, but it's going to birth something in your region, I hear the Holy Ghost say. Because your region, I don't know where in North Carolina you live at, but it's terrible in the spirit realm, put it that way. North Carolina really is a state that really needs some kingdom input in it, and it needs some kingdom infiltration. Amen. And the Lord is going to cause you to really birth a lot of things in prayer. Amen. Not just for your own personal life, but for the region in which you live in. Not just your neighborhood, but your region. Amen.
I do want to say this if I can.
Go ahead.
I think it was 3 weeks ago, my mm-hmm. daughter, some young lady came to the house and she wanted to, basically have some kind of confrontation with my 16-year-old daughter. And she came in the home. You know, most people come to your house, they respect you because, you know, the parents, the mom and dad would be there. But she came in all bold and all loud in her home. And so we put her out. And later on that night, the enemy had gotten into my daughter. Because, you know, God has used me before with, you know, casting out spirits by his word and by his anointing. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, she just wild at night. She ran into the enemy, drove her in the street, and he had her in the road, and like she was choking herself. And my youngest son went out in the road and picked her up and brought her in the house. And when he laid her on the chair, I knew I was immediately praying over her. And she had her eyes closed and her head turned. And I tried to turn her head, it's like stiff. And all of a sudden, she just jumped up at me, and it was the enemy. You know, uh-huh. we prayed, we took authority over, but it took a while, though. And it was the enemy in-house asking the spirit what was his name. And he began to speak to me in his tongue. I couldn't understand. It wasn't English. It wasn't her. Her eyes was all red, and she kept, you know, my husband and my daughter had to hold her down. And as I was ministering, you know, to her and trying to cast, you know, tell the spirit to depart, but it took a while. He was spitting through her, and he was talking in his language. It took a while before he left. He was trying to choke her. He was trying to put his hand, trying to use her hand, put her hand in her mouth, but eventually, mm-hmm. you know, he did leave. And so, you know, the home wasn't the same. You know, I knew I was in warfare, and then it was 3 nights ago, he attacked my 14-year-old son and possessed him. I'm like, God, what in the world is going on? We were, you know, me and my other son and my daughter, you know, they had to hold him, and the enemy had him just roaring and had him on his knees and mm-hmm. balling his feet and his hands up. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, it was crazy up in here, but, you know, God prevailed. You know, the world, we believe the kingdom of God was in us, and the kingdom of light is power in the kingdom of darkness. And he submitted as we kept, you know, taking authority and kept speaking the word and telling him he had to mm-hmm. go, he had to depart. He did leave. But like I said, it's warfare. I mean, the enemy. When the enemy spoke to me through my door, that was the first. Because I feel when God has used me before in deliverance, they would go. Whoever had the spirit would just spit them up. But this time, this is the first that he actually spoke to us. You know, he actually spoke to me, but I didn't understand it. And like I said, it's been warfare. But I'm not discouraged because I know that great is he that is in me than he is in the world, and I know the authority that I have in me. But he does come to try me. And it's just like just being in constant warfare with the enemy, you know, manifesting himself to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, I'm encouraged, and I know that I have to pray more. And there's a reason why he's coming against my family this strong. And my son, he's 14, he's prophetic too. And the same one the enemy possessed, he was able to see him. You know, it frightened him. He said, Mom, he's still here. And, you know, he went up under the bed. I mean, it was wild, you know, but he sees spirits, too. He said, Mama, if you could see what I see. You know, he said that the same spirit that came after him when he was 10 came back. And so,
That'll
enemy, yeah, But the devil is defeated. Now, you know, we don't fear him here. You know, we don't fear him. He got to go. But he does come and try us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. My God. Mm-hmm. Has anybody else been in your house recently? Like, do you all have guests over the house?
Yes, we do. The young lady that came, you know, basically tried to fight my daughter, you know, when she came the same night the devil attacked her. Like adults, no, not really, like maybe kids, but as far as adults coming to our home, not many.
Now, kids, see, a lot of times their parents can be, like, into certain stuff or their parents have certain warfare themselves. Because while you was talking, I seen a lady. I don't know who this lady is. But it's a lady that I'm picking up in the spirit. Whoever came, like the child that came to your house, it may be her mother that had that same type of spirit that your children was wrestling with before, have a similar spirit. You see what I'm saying? Okay. But we have to be careful, you know, not only who we let in our house, but we got to make sure that our house is, you know, constantly, like, anointed. And stuff like and another thing too, that this really helps too. Play worship music around your house, in your house. You know, it's certain things that, you know, I can't allow into my spirit even on TV. It's certain things I can't watch on TV. It's certain stuff attached to, you know, the stuff that's on TV. You see what I'm saying? It's certain stuff like that. You know, and you know, if your child watches a lot of Disney and all that is demonic demons from hell. Disney, Walt Disney is a demon. I'm going to just call it how it is. Walt Disney is a demon. First of all, if you know anything about Walt Disney, the person, you know that he's a Mason, for one thing. He was a Mason when he was alive, for one thing. And then a lot, not only that, a lot of Disney stuff have a lot of subliminal messages and, you know, there's a whole bunch of witchcraft behind all that stuff. And then folks just had their kids, you know, letting their kids watch that stuff, you know. But it's demonic, you know. The cartoons are demonic now. They really are. You know, I heard even Cartoon Network now. We have to really govern what our children watch and be discerning about what the children watch. I seen Courage the Cowardly Dog one day, and he had some witchcraft stuff up there. I'm like, man, I'm like, Cartoon Network getting bad? The cartoons are getting worse? And Lord have mercy, the cartoons now, first they used to show Boondocks at night. now they show Boondocks during the day with the little kids cussing. I mean, so we have to be careful what our children take in. You know, the best thing I advise for little ones is VeggieTales or something. And you got to be praying about that, because I've seen a VeggieTales show, and they said something inappropriate on there. I'm like, man. You know, so you got to be very discerning of what your children take in. You know, very discerning, and then, you know, a lot of these toys and stuff have been prayed over, you know, and then put in the stores and stuff like that. You know, you got to be careful of all of that. You know, we have to really be on guard, because, I mean, the enemy has increased, the enemy has stepped this game up. So we must step ours up too. Amen. That wasn't just for you. That was for everybody on the line. Amen. You got to be careful what your children watch and take in. Amen. You got to be careful who your children's friends are. You got to be discerning of that. Amen. You know, it's a spiritual war. So, woman of God, you continue to war against that spirit here, because you have authority over it. Amen. You have authority. You have authority. Keep your children covered in the blood of Jesus. Keep them. I don't care if you got to anoint them with oil every day when they get off of work and when they come in the house. It don't matter. Whatever you got to do. Amen. But the Lord is going to in a little while, the Lord is going to cause all that to cease. I really feel that. You know, you might have got a break now, whatnot, but the Lord is going to cause all that to cease. Amen. It's just that when you grow up another level in God, because you have went up another level in God, when you go up another level in God, I mean, the enemy comes immediately, and a lot of times he tries to break you. Amen. Amen. He immediately tries to break you, you know. So you just keep pushing. That's why the Lord told me to tell you to continue. You know, you have the authority over that thing. Amen. And, you know, of course the enemy has been attacking, but when he attacks, that means that you're doing something right. Amen, Prophetess Sybil.
Amen.
Amen. So you just be encouraged, woman of God. And whenever that thing tries to come back again, you nip his hind parts in the bud, and you get him up out of there, and you send his butt to dry places.
Jesus.
You send him to dry places. Amen. Dry places where there's no nourishment or nothing. Amen.
The Apostle Larry, if it's okay, if I can say one little thing to add to what you were saying. I know, and I don't want to get off the line without me saying this, and I know that and this is in this season, the enemy is after the souls. It's like we're fighting against the hunter of souls, because it's almost like.
Amen.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, her phone hung up. Amen. Her phone hung up.
I really want to hear that.
Yeah, that's all right. She'll probably call back in. Amen. That old devil hung the phone up. He ain't wanted to speak that.
Ah, Jesus.
Amen. Guess 8, you are so right. Princess and the Frog is a demon from hell. And you know how many church folks had a cheering watching that garbage, Princess and the Frog? Hoodoo and voodoo. That's all the dude talk about is hoodoo and voodoo. Amen. Uh-huh. And you got your cheering watching that, and you supposed to be a god. Something wrong with you.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Something is definitely wrong.
Amen.
Amen. I pray she calls back. Lord, let her call back. Yes, Lord. Yeah, we have to be careful what we allow our children to watch.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't have cable. And so,
that's
good. We put movies in and DVDs in, but we can't, you know, the past years we haven't been able to keep it on. And that's for real. Not because we ain't had the money. We just ain't been able to keep it on.
That's good. Cable is a demon. Cable is a demon from here. The commercials are provocative. Amen. The movies, everything is about money, sex, alcohol, and drugs in it.
You're right.
Even the cartoons. The cartoons are like ridiculous.
Right.
The cartoons are getting worse and worse. The devil is getting bold. Amen. And we need to be bolder. That's why I say we need people in those kind of arenas to counteract what the enemy is doing. I'm telling you, there's a lot of creativeness that God has placed in a lot of folks. And, Do somebody got a speakerphone on or something? Because I'm hearing that echo when you had a speakerphone on. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's so much better. But, yeah, that's why God gives you creative ability. Praise God. He gives you creative ability because, you know, he knows that these things are going to come, and he needs you. Come on now, who he's given that creativeness to go into those different arenas and establish the kingdom there.
Amen. Jesus.
Amen. I'm serious. That this right here, it needs to it needs to be done. We need some more prophets in the political realm. We need some more people of God in the movie entertainment business. We need some folks in business, period. You see, we need righteous people in these positions. Amen. We so busy. I mean, we got the church. To be truthful, we already know about the apostolic. We already know about the prophetic. We can spell apostolic backwards and descramble it and put it back together again. Apostolic, prophetic, apostolic, and prophetic. You got a whole bunch of apostolic, prophetic cliques, frat clubs, and all this old other stuff. Amen. They even have a college of apostles now. They have a whole bunch of colleges of apostles now and stuff like that. I ain't saying nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying we understand the apostolic now, okay? But we don't fully understand it like we think we do. We understand the church part of it. Come on now. But the Bible says that Jesus told his apostles, he told the 12, he said, well, the 11, he said, go forth into what? All the world. I said it yesterday. Go forth into all the world and preach the gospel. That word preach also not only means to preach it or proclaim it from your mouth, but you must demonstrate it too, because in the book of Romans, I believe it's either 14 to 15 chapter, it says, matter of fact, I don't like misquoting stuff. I'm going to turn to it real quick. Yeah, because I feel this thing. I feel this thing real quick. I'm going to turn to it. Amen.
Excuse me, my phone ain't hung up too, but I'm back online.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Okay. That's all right. I was just explaining that God is calling us to go forth into all the world. Romans 15:19, it says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel. The gospel is incomplete without signs and wonders backing it. Amen. Now, who was that talking again? That was Prophetess Angela?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, please finish what you were saying. That was getting good. That devil hung that phone up.
I know. That's the spirit. That is the spirit that I believe the church, that's what I've been praying for.
Yeah.
I've been interceding like all this week for the body of Christ, for against the hunter of the soul. Just like in Ezekiel 13:19-20, just read it. It said, and will you pollute me among my people for the handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly. I will tear them from your arms, and I will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Then your handkerchiefs also will I tear, deliver my people out of your hand, and I shall, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So that's what I've been declaring over the people of God, you know. So that's a street, and I believe it's a choking spirit too. You know, it tries to choke you. It's just coming after the souls of the people. There's that the enemy feels that he have a legal right. You know, have a legal right to claim. But we just have to, you know, fight back with the word of God. We're the redeemed of the Lord. We've been bought with a price. We cancel every contract, every type of oath or inner oath that was made by ancestors, by husbands, by spouses, I mean by whomever who could have said these things and to have caused this stuff to happen. So that's all I have.
Amen. Wow. Yes, indeed. And that should be an area that everybody should be praying in. Amen. My God. Jesus, that's very powerful. Indeed. Amen.
Yeah, that's some high-level witchcraft, you know. That's like the area I normally fight in that realm.
And speaking of witchcraft, you know, don't y'all know that this country, everything about this country is rooted in witchcraft?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Masonry and Eastern stars, that's witchcraft.
Exactly.
If you're a Mason or an Eastern star, we need to get you on the line so that we can pray for your deliverance.
Right.
Amen. Our forefathers were Masons. Amen. George Washington. America was not founded on Christianity. It was founded on Freemasonry. Amen. So folks need to stop telling that lie that America was founded on Christianity. America was founded on God. Just because they say God out of their mouth, best believe. They weren't talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were talking about the supreme architect, amen, that the Masons acknowledge as God. Amen. Everybody talk about, you know, it's coming a new, a one-world government, a new world order. It's already here. And Freemasonry, all religions are accepted in Freemasonry. And the whole government, everybody, mostly people in the government are Masons. Masons are very influential people. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You will find that out. And all this stuff ain't just conspiracy theories. The Lord showed me this. Amen. And the Lord is exposing it and allowing it to come out now so that the people of God can get to a position of prayer where they can pray and intercede on behalf of the nation. So come on now.
Go ahead.
Why do you think God allowing all this conspiracy theory stuff to come out? Huh? Why do you think God is allowing all that to come out? God use who he wills. Amen. Okay. Amen. Why do you think God is allowing all this to come out? The Lord showed me it's true. Most of that stuff true. That was the Lord showed me. He sure did. Amen. You can call me a conspiracy theorist. You can call me a nut. But God called me an apostle and a prophet. So, therefore,
yeah, that's all right.
Come on, Jesus. And guess 8, you're so right. Everything that is against God is witchcraft. Amen. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God sees rebellion in the same category as witchcraft. It didn't say rebellion is witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, because witchcraft opposes everything that is of God. Amen. Witchcraft opposes the workings of the Spirit of God himself. Amen. So rebellion is when you totally go against everything that God is doing. God said, don't do it. You do the exact opposite. Disobedience is when you don't do what God say do, but rebellion is when you do the exact opposite of what God say do. Amen. You got to know the difference. And let me tell you a little something about rebellion while I'm on it, because I just feel it real quick. I'm going to scripturally prove to you how God feels about rebellion, even in the New Testament. Let me just go there real quick. I taught this before, amen, and this used to be my theme scripture, and I think I'm gonna go back to it. Hebrews 10. Let's go to Hebrews 10 real quick, amen. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:26. It says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." So remember, now if we sin willfully. Amen. And we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, after we know sin is wrong, after we know fornication is wrong, after we know masturbation is wrong, after we know joining sororities and societies, I don't care if they got the word Christian attached to it, there's no such thing as a Christian sorority and society, and you still using Greek letters. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. After you know all, after God lets you know all these things are wrong, amen, and you still do it, amen, that is, first of all, it's called rebellion. The scripture is talking about rebellion, because if you willfully sin after receiving knowledge of the truth, that means you do the exact opposite of the truth. Rebellion is when you do the exact opposite of what God says. Amen. There is no more sacrifice for sin. That word sacrifice means atonement. If you look it up, it's talking about the atoning work of Jesus. So that means that the blood of Jesus does not atone for rebellion. Uh-oh. See, a lot of times we can miss God, okay? A lot of times God tells us to do something and we be in fear and stuff like that, and you know, we don't do it, we disobedient, we miss God, and we'd be like, oh, Lord, forgive us, you know, please forgive me. And he'd be like, I'll forgive you, I'm going to let it come back around again. Now, let it come back around again, and you will be tested in that same area of obedience. But however, when you do the exact opposite of what God say do, when you start coming up against him, then that's when you are rejecting the cross. You know what rebellion is? Rejection of the cross. That's what rebellion is. Rebellion is when you reject the cross, you spit in God's face, and you do what you want to do. When you want to do it, how you want to do it, the way you want to do it. Come on now. The Bible says that there's no atoning work. It says it right here for rebellion. In the Old Testament, God just killed you. In the New Testament, God said, I'm not atoning for that. Just like you willfully doing it, it's something that you willfully got to come out of. Hallelujah. See, they don't teach that. I got that by revelation. I ain't get that just by no surface interpretation. Amen. It says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. If you continue in that rebellious state, the Bible says you're going to be under judgment. And matter of fact, there's nothing that God got to speak over you. It's just something that God going to do himself. Amen. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses of how much more sore punishment. Hello. Suppose ye shall he be thought worthy that have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he hath sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. When you insult grace, you're in trouble. Amen. When you rebel against God, you insult grace. Amen. Hallelujah. But anyway, that's a whole nother segment. I bless God for you all coming on tonight. I just wanted to leave everybody with that little nugget. Amen. Amen. Is there anything that anybody wanted to say before they had got off the line? I see Prophet Damien had hung up. I was going to give a chance, and I wanted him to speak. But, you know, next time, amen, we'll have him to speak. God bless you, Prophet Damien, for coming on the line tonight. We see a caller from West Tennessee. Who is that?
Tracy.
Uh-huh.
I was on last night.
You was on last night. Okay.
I'm also humble. I'm two people.
Oh, okay. Okay. I keep forgetting that. Yeah, I keep forgetting you on the line and getting you in the chat room, too. Hey, man, God bless you. It's good to have you on tonight, amen. Prophetess Cheryl?
Yes, I am here.
Amen, amen. You've been mighty quiet today, man.
Yes,
yeah, God
just been listening in, being discipled.
Amen.
Amen.
I feel you. I bless
but
God.
I tell you one thing, Apostle. The Lord is speaking something to my spirit. As you said, the Lord is always speaking.
Amen.
And it's always good to be a listener as well as a spokesman of God.
Amen. That's right.
But the Lord spoke to my spirit on tonight. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm.
Amen.
He said it's so much a condemning of his prophets. Yes, we do have prophets that are called by God that have went astray from the true and living God spirit. They have gotten caught up into this spirit that's taken prophets away from true discernment and leading many away from the truth. And so it's creating a bad name for God's spokesman.
Mm.
And he said, be wise as well what we place our mouth to.
Mm-hmm.
Being judgmental. Because
Amen.
We can see many move under the unction of the Holy Spirit, being unwise of how the Spirit of God moves through different
mm-hmm.
personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he called us very unique.
Amen.
Yet there is one Spirit.
Yes.
And being discerning of the Spirit of God, yet you may see the identity of the prophet, but very discerning of the Spirit. And so many times we get the identity so confused with the Spirit of God, who is actually speaking through the vessel. And he said, just as you may have an Asian, black, an Indian,
mm-hmm.
different, there is a difference on the outer appearance. But in God, who have been filled with his Spirit, should have some similarity because of the Spirit of God. But the uniqueness of the identity of the individual is very different. That's why he don't want us to be so critical
Amen.
Of the uniqueness of the individual. Because when you look at individual, you're looking at the one, the uniqueness of their character. Now, when we come to a corporate setting, the Spirit of God begins to move how he pleases and whom he chooses. But he's speaking solely. Don't be so critical
Amen.
Of his spokesman, because we will be judged in this hour. But we should be very discerning and prayerful, because when one have gone away from the truth, we should restore one another.
That's right.
Through the love of God. Because you to yourself can fall in the very same sin by being judgmental and critical. And it's a way we can judge the fruit, without being so critical and exposing of the individual.
Amen.
And that's what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to my spirit on tonight.
Amen. And that is so true. You know, lately you all been hearing me mention this about being critical, you know. And it's very important that every prophet be delivered from if that prophet struggles in that area of being critical. Amen. It's so easy for a prophet to become critical, because a prophet, a lot of their ministry deals with exposure also. Amen. And prophets, we're like refiners. Amen. Apostles are like reformers. Prophets, we're like refiners. Amen. And the Lord calls us to keep everything pure, amen, and anything that's not pure, amen, we point it out so it can be cleaned up and dealt with. Amen. And it's so easy for prophets to become critical. Amen. And then a lot of them are critical of each other. And when you were talking, Prophet Green, the Lord showed me the guy Carlton Pearson. When he came out with that gospel of inclusion, instead of people praying for him, they start talking about him. They start downing him. I don't think I had a Facebook then, but I bet you everybody posted on Facebook how much he wasn't of God and all this other stuff. Amen. But if the saints would be praying and do more praying and less talking, remember I said earlier that you know, if people would intercede more, you know, and talk less, we will experience more results. Amen. And I'm seeing now, what I'm seeing now is a lot of critical prophets, and I hate to say this, but it's true. I mean, I just got to bring the reality of it to you. You know, and as a prophet, it's very dangerous. A wounded prophet is a dangerous prophet. That's what I posted on my Facebook page. A wounded prophet is a dangerous prophet, and most prophets that are critical are wounded themselves, amen, because they was criticized. They felt like, well, some of them felt like they was criticized, amen, so they begin to go and criticize others. And Prophetess Green, you make a good point because, you know, even though some people are falling from grace, amen, they still don't change the fact that they are, you know, who God says that they are. They just fallen, amen. They might be, they still a prophet. They might be a fallen prophet, but they're still a prophet, amen. And I can remember, I believe it's Jeremiah 12, I believe. You know, Jeremiah got discouraged, amen. And he was saying, Lord, what happened? You tricked me. You know, daily the word of God has made a reproach unto me, you know. And Jeremiah said, I'm not going to say nothing else in his name. Come on, I won't going to say nothing. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Amen. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to shut up. I ain't going to be no prophet. I ain't going to be nothing. And he said the word of the Lord was like fire shut up in his bones. The Lord quickly got him back to the place where he was supposed to be. He couldn't contain himself. When Elijah was ran off by Jezebel, and that's the spirit that's attacking the prophets in this hour too, is a strong Jezebel spirit, because that Jezebel spirit is designed to shut down the prophetic. Amen. If Jezebel can't pervert you, she will destroy you. Amen. She will try to destroy you. If she can't pervert you, she will try to destroy you. The prophets of Baal, I strongly believe at one point they was prophets of the Lord that was converted to a Baal worship. Amen. Amen. You got to be careful, because Jezebel will try to pervert you. If she can't get you to commit sexual immorality, she'll get you, amen, to try to do all kind of idolatry and things like that. Amen. That Jezebel spirit comes to pervert the prophet, and if she can't pervert the prophet, she'll try to totally destroy the ministry of the prophet, period. So every prophet that's on this line, or every prophet that will listen, you must be on guard against that Jezebel spirit. Amen. It comes to destroy the prophetic voice. It suppresses the prophetic voice. Amen. Any church that does not embrace the prophetic, best believe it's a Jezebel spirit operating somewhere. Amen. It ain't just ignorance. Amen. Because Jezebel hates the prophetic. And I understand that people, you know, who don't understand the prophetic may be scared of it. Amen. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to be scared and intimidated by the prophetic. Amen. Jezebel know that once the prophetic begins to go forth, once that prophetic anointing begins to flow, that Jezebel going to be exposed and Jezebel going to have to flee.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's that prophetic anointing, amen, that will expose the tactics of Jezebel,
mm-hmm,
and destroy his workings along with the apostolic. Amen. Jezebel hates the prophetic. Hallelujah. So that right there, you know, it is very. You made a good point. You made a good point, amen. And understand this, you know, people. When you walk in the love of God, you're not going to be critical.
Amen.
Let me just say that. Let me just say that, because you can have all the apostolic, prophetic you want, but you don't got love, you don't got nothing. You don't have nothing. Amen. We're nothing without the love of God. Amen. If you have all the gifts of prophecy, the Bible says, understand all mysteries, speaking all different kinds of dialects of tongues, amen. If you don't have love, it don't mean nothing. And the Lord is really challenging a lot of folks' love walk in this hour, I'm telling you. Amen. He's challenging a lot of folks' love walk. And if your love walk don't line up, amen, with the word of God, with the character of God, amen, then that makes you false. I'm sorry. That's just what it is. The Bible says you'll know a false prophet by their fruit, not by their gifts, by their fruit. There's a difference between your gift and your fruit. We get so caught up in gifts when we need to be examining the fruit.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, I had to be delivered from that critical spirit. I had to be delivered big time. The Lord had to burst my religious bubble. Amen. I was on a high horse, too high. My horse was too high. Amen. And the Lord had to bring me down. Amen. And you know what, too? This may sound crazy, but the Lord has given this to me, and I know it to be God. God don't cause you to find fault in sin. Understand what I'm saying now. The Lord don't cause people to fall in sin. The Lord don't tempt nobody. He tests us. He don't tempt us. There's a difference. However, if your horse is too high, he'll let you fall head first in sin. He sure will.
Sure will.
The Lord know what it takes to humble you and break you. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. The ones that fall into sin, amen, a lot of times they be the ones condemning, judging, but when the Lord calls them to fall into sin, amen, they be the most humblest folks. They be talking about grace. They talk about the grace all the time because they think about how God graced them.
Mm-hmm.
They think about how God loved them in the midst of their faults. Uh-huh. So the same thing happened to me before. Amen. Amen. That's why I can talk about it now, because I've been delivered. Praise God. Hallelujah. So in this hour, you got to be motivated by love. I watched something. I watched a video. I was by my friend Carl's house, and his wife Victoria. She in the chat room. Amen. And they showed me this video. This video is called Furious Love. I'm gonna tell you something. This video totally transformed my life. If you all can, you all need to get this video called Furious Love. I'm telling you something. It will totally change your perspective. I'm telling you something. When you're motivated by love, there's nothing that God won't do for you. There's nothing that God won't do through you. Can I say that again? There's nothing that God won't do for you, and there's nothing that God won't do through you. We all got to be motivated by the love of God in this hour. Amen. Because God is testing our character and our fruits. Amen. To show us whether it's lined up with God or not. Amen. He already knows. Amen. But he wants you to see what you look like. Hallelujah. So that you may take that before the Lord and, you know, allow him to fix that area of your heart. Amen. I bless God for you all tonight. Amen. 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 I like that. Victoria just wrote in the chat room. She's guest 8. She need to be on the line with all that with all that stuff right there. She writing. Praise God. I'm gonna get you on here. Hallelujah. I'm gonna get you on here. Amen. She says this. The main purpose of the prophetic is to find gold in the midst of the dirt in people's lives. We have to do everything in love. Yes, we do. Remember, prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Talking about the gift. And even the ministry of the prophet, even if God speaks something necessarily that's not really what we want to hear. Amen. The end result of it, amen, should produce some fruit for the kingdom of God. It should bring some folks to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So the main purpose, she says, the main purpose of prophecy is to let people know that they were called to be something greater than the lifestyle that they are living in. Amen. I like that. I'm reading everything you wrote. She said, there is not a person who has ever born that was not made to carry the glory of God. And that's true. Prophets create a pathway through grace that restores them to the greatness that they lost. Amen. You need to call in with all that. Amen. But she makes a point. She makes a very good point. Amen. And Prophet is Green, you said it. You know when you judgmental like that, amen, you're not gonna see through the eyes of love, amen. You're not gonna see through, you know, the eyes of God, amen. Because understand this, the Bible says God wished that none perish. So if you always judging, talking about, you know, this person gonna die and that person gonna die and all this other stuff, amen. God even gave Jezebel a space to repent. So if he gave Jezebel a space to repent, and Jezebel was very wicked, there was no repentance in her. Amen. She had a reprobated mind, but God still gave her a chance to repent. God loved Jezebel too. Hallelujah. Amen. He loved Jezebel too. He gave her space to repent, didn't he? Amen. He loved her too, but he just couldn't accept her how she was. She could have converted from the paganism, amen, and turned all the prophets that she perverted, amen, back to the a true worship of God. She could have did that. God gave her a space to, but she didn't. He sent the prophet to warn her. She didn't hearken. That's the love of God shown right there. Amen. And God has given many of people a space to repent in this hour. You know, one thing about it is when a prophet comes to a house, even if he or she comes with a word of rebuke, amen, understand this, that God is not going to leave you open and wounded and then not bring the medicine to heal you.
Amen.
Well, say that again. I'm going to tell you something. Even in the midst of judgment, judgment is designed to get you to repent.
Yeah.
Hello? Not to kill you. Amen. And in the Old Testament, we've seen the wrath of God demonstrated. Amen. But thanks be to God, now he sent Jesus, praise God, and he sent grace. Amen. And now God don't really have to resort too much to wrath, amen, because when he looks at us, he sees us through the blood. And then not only that, he sees the, understand this, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. We love quoting that scripture, but we don't get the love part down pat, no. We just say God so loved the world he gave and just keep going. No, God so loved the world that he gave the closest thing to him. Amen. And that was Jesus. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave the very thing that was the closest and most dear to him. And that was his only begotten son. Amen. So that goes, that should go to show right there that God ain't trying to kill folks. God always leaves room for repentance because he loves us. And he really desires to show us that, hey, what you're doing ain't straight. Hallelujah. I got something better for you to do than what you're doing. And you don't got to do that. I got you. Let me show you a better way of doing things. You know, like that. If we start seeing God as a loving God and not a God that's trying to kill us every 5 minutes, amen, then we'll be better off our relationship with God. I'm going to tell you something. The relationship I have with God now, my God, I can only speak for myself. Since I really know that God is really about love, amen, my whole perspective is different. The way I prophesy is different. You know, everything is different. You know, why? Because when you get that down in your heart that, you know, God loves you, he loves his people, and he's trying to restore his people, amen, that's going to change the whole, that's totally going to change the way you prophesy. Amen. Even in the midst of giving a word of correction, you know, God would be like, hey, you know, don't do that. You know, just like a child, you know, and you telling your child, hey, don't do that. You know, God reprimands us because he loves us. The Bible says that if God don't chastise you, then you're not a son. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I bless God. Amen. We see a Prophet Hill just logged in. God bless you, Prophet Hill. Amen. Prophet Damon, you're on the line.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
How you doing, sir?
Good. Just trying to hang in there.
I feel you, man. You know, winds of change are blowing your way, bro. You know, a lot of things have been kind of like at a standstill sometimes. You know, sometimes it seems like certain things are at a standstill, things that are supposed to be moving forward a little bit, and it looks like that, you know, it's just standing still and it's not going nowhere. You know, but you've been experiencing a little bit of that, but, you know, everything is getting ready to change for you, you know, in those areas. Amen. And even the prophetic that's in you, the Lord is going to bring it forth to its fullest capacity. Amen. You've really been seeking God in some things. You've really been seeking God a lot. And the Lord is going to bring all of that to completion in your life. And the Lord began a good work in you too. And a reminder of the scripture that says that he that begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. And, you know, you've been experiencing, I'm feeling kind of like a season where, you know, a lot of things have been suppressed. Amen. A lot of things have been suppressed gifting-wise in your life. But the Lord is, you know, freeing you up now. He's causing all that to come forth in his fullness.
Yes.
Amen. And the prophetic anointing upon your life is increasing. You know, and I also see the Lord really dropping a serious prophetic mantle on you. Let me say something about a mantle real quick, okay? Because it's different between being gifted in an area. I'm going to tell you something. When you have a prophetic mantle upon your life, understand this. That means that the mantle goes where you go. Amen. A mantle is something that you wear. Amen. A mantle is something that you wear. So it goes with you in the grocery store. And understand that every fivefold ministry gift, whatever gift that they're called to, there's a mantle that comes with that. So that means that wherever you go, that's who you are. Amen. You can't be a prophet in the church and then when you go, amen, to the swimming pool, you take your prophetic mantle off and you just go to the swimming pool and you just a regular person. No, that mantle goes with you everywhere you go. Amen. See, the gift of prophecy is inspirational. Amen. The gift of prophecy is inspirational. It can bubble forth, you know, any time that you tap into it, stir it up, and go forth, you know, and you want to minister or do street ministry or whatever, you know. But that mantle is something different. It's something about that mantle that just goes with you. Amen. Understand this. I'm an apostle. Rather, I'm ministering on the talk show, ministering to somebody's church, or sitting down playing Xbox. Amen. If I'm sitting down playing Xbox, I'm just an apostle that plays Xbox. That's playing Xbox right now. I can't get away from that. Amen.
Yeah.
I can eat. I was telling you earlier, I can eat a piece of chicken and hear from God. I'm sorry. You know.
Sure.
You know, in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
In the restaurant. I mean, I go in a restaurant and told me I'd just be sitting there and everybody be pulling on my spirit. I'm like, God, which one you want me to talk to first? You know, like that. You know, I can't help it. You know, the mantle is there. You know, so therefore the mantle is always at work, yeah?
Yes.
Amen. It's always at work. And I see the Lord dropping a serious mantle on you. Amen. Especially in the area of the prophetic. And you, like we discussed earlier, you know that you're called to the apostolic, but you really have to walk out the depths of that prophetic first. I don't get, and I'm not saying it's you, I'm just talking in general now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get prophets, who've been prophets for a year and then become an apostle. I don't understand that. You know, that's hard for me to wrap my mind around.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because every apostle, if you really call the apostle, I've seen people who are called apostles. They skip the evangelist. They skip the prophet part. Amen. They go from being an evangelist to an apostle. That don't know.
Yeah.
Amen. You got to walk out the depths of that prophetic first. Amen. Because like Apostle Hill say, every apostle is a prophet, but not every prophet is an apostle. Amen. So you got to understand that prophetic. You got to begin to walk that out first. You can't escape that.
Yeah.
Amen. Because before Apostle Paul and the Apostle Barnabas was released into the apostleship, they was amongst the company of prophets and teachers. You can read that in Acts 13. It said there were certain prophets and teachers, and Saul and Barnabas was named amongst them, amongst the prophets and the teachers. And they said, set aside Paul and Barnabas. That's what the Holy Ghost spoke. For the work that I've called them. So they prayed, they fasted, they laid hands on them and released them into their apostleship. Amen. The prophetic will pave way for the apostolic. Amen. You can see that in the scripture. So,
yes.
I mean, every apostle, before you become an apostle, you got to first know what it's like to be a prophet. Amen. And that's why I'm glad I kind of taught on the prophetic ministry tonight and the mantle of the prophet tonight, because I mean, people are rising. Let me tell you something. It is so popular now to be a prophet and an apostle. I never seen such a time like this in my life. You know, and I ain't been living that long. Amen. But I've never seen a time such as now where everybody just want to be an apostle and a prophet. Everybody got a gift of prophecy. And, you know, they think just because they got a gift of prophecy, they can prophesy that they're prophets. You know, you can't do that. You got to make sure that you're really hearing from God. You know, first of all, you know, your character got to be right first. You got to be molded and shaped. You know, you gotta know what it's like to suffer in Christ. You know, all that. You know, but anyway, man of God, the Lord is really going to take you in depth in the prophetic. Yeah, He's going to take you in depth, and once He take you in depth, your wife's going to follow suit behind you.
Yes,
Lord. Yeah. See, she's a prophetess, and she already knows she's a prophetess. But you have to really walk in depth in that call as a prophet, amen. And the Lord and I don't know how long you've been ministering, but the Lord is going to take you in depth in that prophetic, amen. So the Lord just matter of fact, if you can study some materials on the prophetic ministry, you know, study some materials on the prophetic ministry, you know. You might want to look on the internet or something. Apostle John Eckhart has a couple things about prophecy and stuff like that. If I find some things, I'm definitely going to send it to you. Amen. I'm gonna definitely send that to you. Amen. And we're in the same state, so you're not that far from me, so I can easily get some things to you. But I'm gonna definitely send you some things too, amen. Because you really need to know about the prophetic before you can learn about the apostolic. You gotta get that part about being prophetic, amen.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly agree with that. I strongly believe that, amen. So, Pastor John Eckhart got some things. Bishop Bill Hammond, he got some things about the prophetic, amen. Jim Gall got some things about the seer. Amen. I'm really going to get you hooked up with all that here.
Yes, Lord.
So begin to study your prophetic call here, and the Lord will give you more insight as you begin to study. Amen.
Yeah.
So, I basically taught and gave a little bit of a foundation tonight on prophetic ministry, and I gave a lot of things that relate to prophetic ministry. But God is always speaking; there's always more in depth revelation on prophetic ministry, and you know, the Lord is going to give you some things, amen. So just continue, just to press into God, and also too, before, and I mentioned this earlier, I don't know if you was on the line or not, but before you become a prophet, you first must become an intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
You must know what it's like to be an intercessor.
Hello?
Well, I guess he got disconnected.
The line went. Hello?
Yes.
I think it's off the line. I don't know if he, his line went out or not.
Let's see, be back on.
Trying to come back on it.
Hey, man, may I tell you, man, love disconnecting my phone. That happens every show. My phone get disconnected at least one time. Hey, man, Prophet Damon, you still on the line?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Apostle Hill named all the folks in the chat room, hey, amen, that you might want to look into the Prophet's Handbook, Prophet's Dictionary by Paula Price. People like Bishop Bill Hammond, Graham Cook, he recommended Graham Cook for you. You already saw it in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. John Tesola, you can find his books at www.arsenalbooks.com. Amen. Definitely, you can look into those things, amen, because the Lord wants to increase you in your prophetic. He really do. He wants to increase you in the prophetic. He really do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Before I really close this thing out, I wanna read something real quick. I have this book by Chuck Pierce. It's called The Future War of the Church. Amen. And I read this book a while ago, but the Lord recently led me back to it today. There's some things that I mean, read the whole book. I read like 85% of the book. You know, so I'm going to finish the rest of it. But this is something here that this is a vision that he said that he had. Amen. And also, Apostle Hill wrote in the chat room, too. He said, for the women, and the prophetess in ministry, amen, he recommended The Spiritually Gifted Women by Roger Sapp, a must-read, and I totally agree. Amen. I looked into that a little bit. And LaToya recommended Graham Cook's Prophetic Soaking. Amen. That's some good material out there. Amen. Y'all post. Praise God. But I want to read something real quick before I close this thing out. This is a vision that Chuck Pierce said that he had. He said, God then showed me a third picture. This was of a building that was filled with light. The Lord called it my future kingdom authority. This building was very small. It was just beginning to form and was still lacking in size and shape. Even so, the structure was nothing but light, similar to a hologram in glory. Several words appeared on its foundation. They were the five ascension gifts listed in Ephesians 4:11 that make up the government of God: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God was bringing order to these five gifts and placing them in the foundation. Every time one gift would be set in order, the light would increase tremendously. Amen. He said that this order would become very visible over the next 12 years. Once the proper order had been established, he would rapidly transfer his people to the new structure. I saw many leaders from the first building, the existing church structure, move their offices from the old building to this new structure. As they turned out the lights of their offices in the old structure, their building grew darker and much more rigid, and it was unable to withstand the isms and lawlessness. However, the Lord's new structure began to arise, and it had the ability to superimpose itself over the isms and lawlessness structures and could overcome their government. Remember, I was telling y'all about government earlier, right? Hallelujah. God then said to me, this is the government of the church of the future that will arise and spread my light throughout the world in the latter days. This government will overcome all other governments. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, that just confirmed what I spoke earlier. Praise God. You didn't realize that. Said, when this government is in order, you can then command the governments of the earth to come into order. This will be the government of my latter-day blessings. I'm sorry, this will be the government that my latter-day blessings will rest on. This will be the government in which my glory will be seen. This will be the government that truly comes into a double portion anointing and will dethrone the systems of Babylon on this earth. This government will not be one of compromise, but of determined commitment to my purposes. Hallelujah. Amen. And I just mentioned to y'all about government. Like I said, I just picked this book up today for the first time in a long time. Amen. So that confirmed what I said earlier about the apostolic and the prophetic ministry going into the areas of government. How we're going to see that arise, where God is going to raise up prophetic people, amen, and even apostolic people, amen, and send them into different arenas of the government and, you know, and media and different places, amen, to counter-react and dethrone the principalities that govern those different arenas, amen. So I truly bless God for you all on the line. And the ones that's been in the chat room, amen. I truly thank God for you all being on today, amen. I know the teaching was kind of lengthy, amen, but I believe that it was necessary. And even for the ones that hung up, Prophet Bob came on earlier, amen. Prophet Bob came on earlier. But he had to leave, so I bless God for him too. Amen. And God is good, amen. We gonna get there, y'all. Amen. We are getting there. Amen. The Lord is really doing a strong work. So many people speak about the negative stuff, but they don't speak about what the positive stuff and what God is doing. Amen. Because you know, the enemy is losing ground in a lot of areas. Amen. There's a lot more areas that he's going to lose ground in that he hasn't lost ground in yet, but he is losing ground. Amen. And that's something to rejoice over, you know, because the kingdom is advancing in this hour. And he's preparing the people to go forth, amen, and do more in these different arenas. Amen. And I just encourage you all just to pray for the political realm. Pray for the president, please. I mean, my goodness. Jesus, I'm going to leave that alone. Just pray for him, you know. Amen. Pray for our laws. I mean, I don't understand how people can be apostles and prophets and are not concerned with the laws of this nation. You know, you got to be concerned with the laws of the nation now. You know, that got to be a focal point of your prayer. I mean, Apostle Paul stood before kings. Come on now, the prophets, you know, in the Old Testament stood before the kings. Amen. The kings were political figures. Apostle Paul stood before kings. The Apostle Peter, you know, encountered kings. Amen. These apostles grabbed the attention. These men of God grabbed the attention of the political arena of their day. Amen. And we're going to see a day now where, I mean, miracles are going to be recorded on the news. Amen. I'm talking about a miracle that folks can't deny. Amen. Amen. The kingdom of God is going to get a lot of publicity. As far as, you know, even in the political realm, God is preparing us for that. Amen. And, you know, God is manifesting all these things because there's coming a time of sorrow and turmoil upon the land. And, you know, it's a Joseph-type anointing that's coming upon the people to rule wisely, you know, in the time of famine. Amen. In the time of turmoil and economic decline, you know, just because, you know, there's a recession, don't mean that we got to be in the recession. Amen. We in the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as a recession. Praise God. The people of the land and the government gonna have to come to us. Amen. You know, in order to be fed or what have you. And then, you know, when the government come to us, amen, we can give them the word of the Lord. Amen. God bless you, Prophet Damon. Prophet Damon had to leave. Amen. He hung up. But getting ready to cut it short, though. Praise God. We've been on here now for about just about a little bit over 3 hours, amen. But I thank God for every one of you all that hung in there. You know, the Lord is definitely doing a work in you all's lives. Many of you all that's on the line are called to the prophetic ministry. Amen. And even the ones that's in the chat room, guest eight, well, that's Latoria. Amen. Amen. She already knew who she is. Amen. And guest 10, God bless you. Do anybody have anything else to say before we call it a night?
Just on the upbeat, the Lord is going to restore just the fullness of joy that we have suffered, you know, just going through so many trials and just warfares, and he's going to just show us the manifestation of joy. Because I was like, Lord, do I even really know what joy is? Because I've had so many struggles. So...
Amen.
So we can look forward to reaping joy.
Amen. You, that is so true. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. Victoria's going to laugh. She's going to laugh a bit. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. One night I went to church, right? But before I went to church, I kind of got some disturbing news. So I was kind of down. You know, and I had talked to Prophetess Green, too, you know, and you know, she had talked to me about some things. And you know, then because she pretty much told me about, you know, gave me some insight about the situation.
But because of the situation, I was kind of down, so I went to church, and, you know, I enjoyed the church service and everything, but, you know, I could not help from being down, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell me why. The Holy Ghost came over me, and I started laughing uncontrollably. I felt like the lowest thing on the totem pole. I felt like straight garbage. And the Holy Ghost came on me, and I just started laughing and laughing and laughing. I mean, I'm serious. I used to think stuff like that was of the devil. I'm serious, because some folks take stuff and make a whole movement out of it. Amen. But I used to think stuff like that was the devil. Amen. And then until it happened to me. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm laughing uncontrollably. And then they said it. I laughed at the church, right? It started at the church. I mean, because I went to the altar, bam, hit the floor. Hit the floor, got up. Man, I started laughing and laughing and laughing. And then when I got to the house, I sat there on the chair. I was just laughing and laughing and laughing. And then I laughed myself to sleep. Do you hear me?
Wow.
I know that burst a lot of religious bubbles. Amen. But I laughed myself to sleep. And they said, I woke up in the middle of my, well, I really didn't wake up. They said I woke. It looked like I woke up in the middle of my sleep, started speaking in tongues, laughing, and went to sleep, and went back to sleep again. I ain't remember none of that.
Hmm.
See, the joy of the Lord. I'm telling you,
the joy of the Lord. See, joy
unspeakable. I'm telling you. I'm gonna tell you something. When they say the joy of the Lord is your strength, I'm gonna tell you something. When you laugh like that, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you may be wore out physically sometimes, amen, but it's a strength that comes on the inside. My God, I don't know if nobody ever experienced this on this line, but it's a strength that comes with that. That scripture is true. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on now.
That's the fruit of the Spirit too, right?
Exactly.
That many of us have not really truly experienced that.
Hmm.
But,
amen.
You know, that's awesome.
That is so true. That is so true. A Latoya put in the chat room, ha ha ha, and yes, yeah, because they was right there. I'm telling you, the first time that happened to me, I'm telling you, I don't condemn it no more. Amen. Because I used to say that's the devil, and how you gonna show me in the Bible where they laughed in the spirit. you know, with my religious self. You know, I'm talking about show me in the Bible where that's at. Amen. Show me in the Bible where it condemns it. Now, hallelujah.
Amen.
A lot of folks be condemning stuff, amen, saying that that's not in the Bible. But, amen, show me in the Bible where it condemns it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Case closed.
Apostle Arnell, may I add, this is Prophetess Green.
Yes, ma'am.
That particular day when you and I talked, the Lord had revealed and exposed some information that you had been praying about.
Yeah.
And he gave you insight on that, as well as a result of being in contact, thank you, Lord God, with the ministry, because long time ago, God birthed me into that ministry, and I'm going to try to be very short.
Okay.
Some friends and I was praying, and we prayed maybe 7 days or so, and that gift of that laughter, Jesus, that God birthed onto my life is like a well that we fell into,
mm-hmm.
at the result of praying in the Spirit. And
mm-hmm.
he opened up, it's so many realms of the spirit
that had not been touched, and it's the only way we're going to equip the be able to receive the remnant of spirit if we get in and begin to pray and petition and get before the throne of God. But mm-hmm. as a result of that, God gave you some information that was kind of disturbing, but he also gave you the joy to withhold you in strength as well, too. And myself, God showed me that particular ministry of that true joy through someone else, and then he birthed it onto my life as well, too. I wasn't too much particular downing it, but I was just in awe. And when I experienced it myself, it's just a form of release of every concern. I mean, anything, anxiety, worry, fear, I mean, it's just a overwhelming presence that's come upon you that you cannot even control yourself. And it's the true laughter of God, because even as an intercessor, and I didn't notice years ago, when I began to intercede, I literally felt the emotions of God. And he laughs. He, you know, he gets angry. I have heard the Lord talk to Satan himself through the prayer of intercession, and I was in awe. And the only way we're going to find out this is we get in the position of prayer, but that is truly a gift.
Mm-hmm. Amen. It is. It is. Amen. When that thing happened to me, my Lord, now it happens to me kind of often now.
Amen.
Amen. Especially when I get around Latoria in the chat room. Amen. She just be laughing all the time. The Holy Ghost just stay on her. Amen. She could be around the house getting stuff together, and next thing you know, she just busts out laughing, or the Holy Ghost just, I mean, you get around her, she can, whatever on her get contagious. Amen. But I bless God for her, though, true friend. Amen. Her and Carl both. Amen. But I'm telling you, that joy, my God. Woo! I tell you one thing. I've been saying a whole lot of stuff lately, amen, that I used to condemn, that is now being evident in my life. Amen. And one day I'm going to really teach on miracle signs and wonders. And I really feel led to do that one day. I'm going to really get on signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. A lot of people acknowledge the miracles, but they don't acknowledge the signs and the wonders. And when I begin to minister on that, whenever the Lord permits, I'll try to do it sometime this week. But whenever I minister on that, amen, I know it's going to burst a lot of religious bubbles. Amen. You know, because let me ask this question. Do we really know what signs and wonders are? Do we really know what signs and wonders are? Amen. Just something to think about. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. But if there's nothing else to be said, and then we're going to close out on tonight. I mean, we've been on here for about 3.5 hours now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anything else to be said? Amen. Father, we bless you. Father, we just thank you. Father, and I just bless your holy name. Father, and I just thank you for the words that were spoken, for the folks that called in, for the ones that listened, Father, and for the ones that will listen. And I just ask, Father, that your people would be edified by the words that were spoken. And, Father, we just thank you because truly, Father, you're calling your prophets, your apostles, all your other fivefold ministry gifts into alignment in this hour that we may effectively demonstrate your love and your kingdom, Father, and go into a dying world, Father, and give them what you have given us. Because you said freely we have received, we should freely give. So, Father, I thank you that even now, Father, that you're causing everything to line up in our lives, Father. Father, even in the midst of the warfare
Father, that we may experience the opposition we may experience, we know that you're still good, Father. And we thank you for that joy, unspeakable, Father, that we were just talking about, being evident in the lives of your people that's listening. And, Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sybil.
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
My Lord, I don't know. Is somebody you know or somebody in your household dealing with some kind of ailment or something, some kind of discomfort in the body that you?
Yes, my daughter, it's in her mouth, like her gum is swollen, and it's like overlapping her teeth.
Mm, Jesus, I felt some discomfort going on, but I believe the Lord is touching that, and I believe the Lord is going to heal that. Father, mm-hmm. Father, I thank you for bringing the swelling down in her daughter's gums in Jesus' name, Father. I thank you. Amen. I sure did pick that up in the spirit. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. My Lord. Amen. Latoya, I know you're in the chat room. I don't know if Paul is listening or not. But the Lord is getting ready to do something very major in y'all's lives. Amen. The Lord, my God. Amen. He told me to tell you that he knows the desires of your heart. You don't always express them all the time. But he knows the desires of your heart. And the Lord is getting ready to give you those things that you desire here. Because one thing about it is, about you, I hear the Lord say that you delight yourself in him. Amen. You truly are like the epitome of that scripture. If you delight yourself in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen. And you really delight yourself in God. And I'm not just saying that because I know you. I'm saying it because I hear the Lord saying it. Amen. You really delight yourself in God. And he's getting ready to give you the desires of your heart. Amen. He really is in this hour going to give you. He just keep telling me to repeat it. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Those things that you desire, he's getting ready to unfold it in your life. Amen. So you can begin to look for that. Kind of soon. Amen. I guess. Amen. Somebody just logged into the, somebody just came on the call. Pastor Jackie. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I saw that you just came in on the call. Amen. You called just in time so we get ready to, wrap it up, but there's been some things that you've been petitioning before the Lord too. I really feel that there's some things that you've really been petitioning before the Lord. There's even more things that you desire to do, you know. But it's just a matter of certain doors being open for you to be able to do those things. But in this season, the Lord is going to begin to open those doors. He's going to begin to allow you to be able to do those things that you really desire to do. And also, I see expansion. I really hear the word expansion for you. The Lord is going to expand. It's almost like the scripture that says, enlarge the place of your tent. You know, the Lord is going to really enlarge the place of your tent. Amen. He's going to increase your capacity. Amen. And he's going to increase you, period. Amen. So you can begin to look for those things, and even the things that have been held up and halted, you know, the Lord is going to even cause this to be moved also, you know, because there's some things that's been kind of like halting what the Lord, what you really desire to do for the Lord, and some things that the Lord has given you, it seems like it's been like on a standstill almost. But the Lord is going to remove those stumbling blocks out of the way, amen, so that you can do what God has called you to do, amen, because you truly have a desire to do it in your heart. Amen. And it's something that God has given you. And it's almost some things, I feel like it's almost like a burden on your heart. Amen. And the Lord is going to cause that to happen so you can do it, so you can look for it. So, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. And there's a strong measure of the prophetic, too, that's coming upon you, too. Tonight we talked on the ministry of the prophet. Amen. You kind of missed the call. Amen. You might want to go back when the show is fully uploaded and kind of like listen to the teaching part of it. But there's a greater measure of the prophetic that's coming upon you as well. Amen. The Lord is definitely going to increase you in the area of our visions and dreams in that area. I just hear that. Amen. So you look for that not too many days from now. I hear the Lord say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So once again, amen, we're about to close this thing up. At least I'm going to try to. Amen. I just try to close it out just now. Praise God. And the word of the Lord went forth. But I bless God for you all once again coming on tonight. And you all be encouraged, yeah, and just, you know, continue to press into that place of prayer, you know, and stay in the presence of God. You know, really stay in the presence of God. Especially if you're a prophet. Every prophet ought to stay in the presence of God. Every ministry leader ought to be in the presence of God on a daily basis. Amen. And not just that, you ought to be a carrier of his presence too. Amen. You ought to carry the presence with you everywhere you go. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, Apostle Hill. Amen. That's my apostolic father. Amen. Apostle Hill. He's my covering. Amen. I truly honor you all tonight for coming in and listening. God bless you all. Latoya, Guest 10, Humble, Brazil 40. Sorry, I keep forgetting your name. Prophet is Green. Who is that from Central Indiana again? I'm sorry, I be forgetting sometimes. Sometimes they got to pray for old Pops over here.
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I said God bless you. You get a call tonight.
Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you as well.
In Central Indiana, I think that's Prophet Angela, right?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I got it right. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. See, y'all didn't even have to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Prophet Angela, God bless you. Pastor Jackie, woman of God, powerful woman of God. God bless you. God bless you. More prophetic is coming to you. Amen. In a greater measure. Amen. So I already prayed. Amen. And pretty much dismissed this. Let the angels of the Lord be with y'all while y'all sleep, because this is the season of increased angelic visitation, like I spoke on segment last night. Amen. It's the season of increased angelic visitation. So if y'all, you know, see an angel or something, God, just come back with the testimony. God bless you. Amen. All right, y'all. I'm finna hang up. I'm finna hang up. I love y'all. Yeah. God bless you.
All right. God bless you.
All right.
Okay.
All right.